B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Pisanelli Show. A Thursday show. You know, we do a lot of good things on Thursday, including the fantasy football moment with Eric Carabell and also Hembo Stats. And be interested in the Hembo Stats this week because I want to see if the Eagles have a chance to win here, if the stats would indicate that the Eagles have a chance to win. Because I got to be honest with you, I'm exhausted by these teams. I am totally exhausted. And we touched on this a little bit yesterday. I need a sweep, the Phillies against the Rays. I need a win on Sunday against the Bengals. I need a coach hired for the Philadelphia 76ers. I freaking even yearn for Lou Nolan to say Pico Power Play. I need something. Exactly. I'm exhausted. Now, last night, the Phillies win a game, right? Now, it's amazing with one win. Well, it will turn people around. Like, Bryce Harper has two home runs. Right? Eflin pitches well. That'll turn people around. Well, if we get in the playoffs, now you got Eflin starting game one. That's a W. And then you got your two aces. Well, not so fast, my friend, because I got some statistics here on the Phillies. Percentages to make the playoffs. Now, we all know what they need to do. They need to sweep the rest of the games, and then see where everything lays. So hold on, I get a little analysis here. A little analysis. I worked out some things.
Oh, you digging in? Mike's digging into the bag for people listening on the radio.
I'm digging into the bag.
Oh.
Not the bag.
Right.
The bag.
It's just the bag.
The bag, yeah.
It's the bag, yeah. And so the bag reveals some, what did I do with it? Oh, crap. Did I forget it? No. I must have forgotten it. But I had all the percentages down for the teams to make the playoffs in Major League Baseball. The Phillies, unfortunately, are last.
Yeah.
Now, they lose the tiebreaker to the Marlins. However, they could get second. They're only a half game out of second place, which would be the automatic berth.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So, forget about the percentages. If they get the second spot, it really doesn't matter. And the Marlins play the Yankees this weekend, right?
Yes, and a big one tonight against the Braves to close the series. If the key thing to start it all is they have to lose tonight to...
Yeah.
Because that now puts them at a tie with the Marlins having a tiebreaker with three left.
Right.
So if they win tonight, that's a pretty big leg up with the tiebreaker and only a three-game series. But if they lose tonight, they're basically tied, and it comes down to what happens with
the end. Both teams... Philly's playing a team that doesn't care anymore because they're in. And the Marlins would be playing a team that doesn't care anymore because they're in. So it's anything's up for grabs. But if they slide out of that second spot, the chances are they're not going to get the spot.
Yeah, now
they're behind everybody now.
And now the Giants have all of a sudden, they went a couple in a row. They're a game above 500. Now it looks like Gabe, in the ultimate irony, might be in.
Yes. So, wait a minute. I have the percentages here. I want to put the percentages out because I want to give people like the reality of it. It's not dead, but the reality of it is it's probably unlikely. And I don't know if this matters. I don't think it will matter. I think that this has been a failure of the front office, and I think Middleton has to act accordingly, even if they slide in the playoffs, unless something miraculous happens, like they win they actually have success in the playoffs, which I don't think will happen. All right, so here are the percentages. The Marlins... See, these percentages are interesting because they're reasoning that the Marlins will at best or at worst tie with the Phillies and get the tiebreak because the Marlins' percentage to get in the playoffs is 72.6% to the Phillies 49.4%. So they're saying right, these teams at best, these teams are going to go 1-2 or 2-1 as they get into the final series, and the Marlins will get the spot if that's the case.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. All right, so now we move on to the St. Louis Cardinals. They have a 72.3% chance. They're currently tied with the Reds, although the games are uneven. The Reds have an 86.1% chance to make the playoffs. So they're saying that the Reds are probably going to finish second in that division.
Yeah.
So, but even if that happens, the Cardinals' percentage is higher than the Phillies as a wild card spot. Now they got the Milwaukee Brewers. Fledgling, they're 27-28 right now, one game under 500, but their percentage to make the playoffs is 51.3%, depending on who they play in the end. And I think they play the Cardinals.
Yeah, so that, they're going to knock,
they'll knock somebody, each other out.
Yeah,
but the Brewers' percentage to get in is still ahead of the Phillies. And then we go to the Giants, 66.4% chance to make the playoffs. And now I think who do they play? The Twins? The Twins, whoever they play, they're locked in also in the playoffs. So they could be bullpen games for everybody that these teams are playing against.
Whoa, this is they got a crazy schedule. They play
the Giants?
They play four against the Padres.
It's five against the Padres, isn't it? Five? It's five against the Padres, who are already locked into the second spot. They don't have to win any of those games.
And they're one game above 500, yeah. They play the Rockies tonight, and then they play... No, I think it's four.
Four against the Padres?
Yeah.
Okay.
One versus the Rockies, and then four against the Padres.
Okay. Well, there you go. Five left, and four against the Padres. The Rockies stink. They're rolling over. And the Padres have no incentive to win at all. So that's what the odds are for the Phillies. But I'm hearing people today get a little more excited for playoff baseball. And you should be excited for playoff baseball. And like I said, I don't know if you have it, but I have Philly team fatigue. I need something to happen. They're fighting for their lives to get into the playoffs for Phillies, right? The Eagles could be 0-3. And a season could be over. Like, that's how badly they need this win. And you're talking about the Sixers. Now, what's going on with the Sixers? We don't know if the coach is coming in. I'm reading today that if they hire D'Antoni, that he is more likely to make a trade. So, I mean, I need something to happen. At least I can hold on to it, Tyrone. You know what I'm saying? Even if they hired D'Antoni, it's still intrigue to get me excited on what D'Antoni's going to do to shape the roster or how he's going to play with this team.
Yeah, I'm with that. Something needs to happen. This week has been the most negative week, and this is saying something, that I can remember. This is terrible right now. We need something.
It's tired me out. I have fatigue. I can't, like, I really do. I have Philly sports team fatigue. There's nothing that's given me any energy right now.
Do you think it's also just because the way that the seasons have gone heading into them, there was these higher expectations because everything was so different. And now it just like wiped you out like that.
I actually didn't have as many high expectations as normal people. I'm a pretty even keeled guy, right?
Right.
I didn't think the Sixers were going to do anything. But I didn't think the Phillies were going to do anything.
But it's all in one small chunk of time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It all happened at once, and now we're like, well, that's that.
These couple of weeks, the Phillies collapsing and the Eagles starting off the way they started. And the Sixers are kind of like in this vast wasteland. We have no idea what they're all about. And meanwhile, the NBA playoffs are going on with great play and the whole bit. And there's this team on the outside. Like, I can't even touch the Sixers right now. I want to reach out and touch them. I can't touch them. They're like an invisible smoke screen.
Yeah, I wonder if that trade rumor will hurt them. Actually, in fact, I think it will.
Why will it hurt them?
Because they may...
The trade rumor that D'Antoni gets the job, he would move Embiid.
Yeah, that would hurt him.
It would hurt the fan base, it would hurt the team.
It would hurt him, his chances of getting the job.
Oh, it would?
Yes.
Really?
A fairly reliable birdie told me that these guys are staying together.
Okay.
If he comes in there really saying that, it would keep him from getting the job.
Okay.
If he actually said it, he may not have said it, but if he did say it, it would hurt his chances of getting this job.
Okay. Well, then he shouldn't say it if he wants the job. On the other hand, he may be slick enough to convince him that the league's going a different way where, you know, we got to take a chance. We got to turn this thing around. It's not working this way, the NBA. He might be able to convince Elton Brand. No?
Nope.
All right.
They hired, because if that was the case, you could have kept Brett Brown and let him work with one of them.
All right, well,
the point was to get both.
Whatever happens to the Sixers happens. I just want something to happen, okay? I need a sweep from the Phillies. I need a victory for the Eagles. I need to get, it's like an IV as well. I need a sports IV right now. All right. Do you out there? in sports land. I'm thinking, you're along with you, the same thing, isn't it? You need a sports IV.
They do. And I think a lot of them are kind of getting, some of them are getting what they deserve in some way. Some of the
fans?
Mm-hmm.
How?
Okay, so some of them actively root against their team.
Uh-huh.
And then when their team loses, they want to be upset about it.
Well, why are they you're not wrong, but why are they rooting against their team? There's always a greater good for a Philadelphia fan base to root against the team. It's a great, in their mind, it's a greater good.
Yeah, to make changes
right.
that they think. But the problem is, you have to then accept that pain. And what they're doing is they want to complain, even though they're getting what they wish for at the same time. And that's why I never root against my team. I always want my team, my teams as a fan to win, always. Therefore, when I'm complaining, it's because I'm disappointed that that I'm not getting what I wanted. But there's a large fan base that roots against the team, these two teams in particular. Some, and it happened with the Sixers too. They were rooting against the Sixers, hoping they get swept because they can fire Brett Brown.
Yeah, well, then they got what they wish.
Right, and then when they get it though, and we're doing it, they have the pain, not recognizing that when you make those kind of wishes, pain comes with it. So some of them I don't feel any sympathy for, but others I feel a lot of sympathy for.
All right, so you think that people are wishing the Eagles lose?
Yep.
Well, why?
Change quarterback.
Because they don't like, so you're talking about the small Folsian society.
No. I'm not.
General Eagles
fans? There are general Eagles fans that have, right now, and he's played two terrible games.
Yeah.
Terrible games. Like, we've talked about it every day. He's been terrible. But I think some fans want him to play better and turn the season around. Some fans say, flush it. Let's get another quarterback. Let's get to Hurts. Some of them are foes, but that's a small number. I don't believe the majority of these fans actually want Carson Wentz to turn it around.
I disagree, and here's why. I believe that the people who are saying that are saying it out of frustration. You know that happens in this town all the time. They overstate something out of frustration that they don't really mean. So I don't think it's a majority of fans that are rooting against Carson Wentz.
I think it's
their only fight back. That's the only weapon they have to fight back to show their dissatisfaction. Get him out of there! That attitude.
I believe it's 75 against 25.
We'll find out. I don't know. Listen, he's not ready to play yet, Jalen Hurts, anyway. So you shouldn't be wishing for Carson Wentz to be out. Now, I happen to think that's the long-range plan, but that doesn't mean I'm wishing that the guy, like I have no skin in the game. Whether the quarterback is Wentz or whether the quarterback is Hurts, I don't care. I want the best solution, right? So if the best solution, and this guy keeps playing bad, is to go in that other direction quickly, because I know they're going on in that direction in the long haul, then yeah, I'll flip too. But it's entirely too early to bail out on this season with Carson Wentz. All right, we'll talk about all these issues. Hey, I'm telling you, man, I'm exhausted. Somebody can help me out. I need an IV. Help me out today. I don't ask you for much. 610-632-0975 is how you climb in. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All righty, it's the Mike Mussinelli Show, the 2 o'clock hour, and it's brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. If you're an HVAC contractor, check out Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin for equipment, parts, supplies for every heating and cooling job. Visit one of their counter locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester today. Yeah, they're spreading out all over the place. That HVAC Lyon Conklin. All right, let's get our Twitter poll started. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Son. If you need a new mower, if you're looking for other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer and Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with Safe Contactless Pickup in Doylestown. And I told you my boy Jake Moyer was over last week. He was back. He took Fred.
Uh-huh.
Took Fred into the shop.
Oh, okay.
A little fine-tuning. Brought Fred back today and is overworking Fred.
What do you mean?
He set Fred up to do 6 hours every day for the rest of this week.
Wow.
So Fred relearns the property. Fred has been on the IL for a while.
Oh, he has.
Yes.
Poor Fred.
So Fred, as I left, was...
He's getting his reps in.
He's getting his reps. Is yeah. Exactly right. All right, now what is today's Twitter poll?
Today's poll, Mike, it just disappeared. Are you fatigued with the current Philadelphia sports landscape? Over 100 votes on this one early. 79% say yes. A lot of negativity. 21% say no. Ready for a comeback.
All righty then. I'm ready for a comeback. Don't call it a comeback.
Don't call it a comeback. Well, yeah. I would like to call it a comeback, honestly.
Yeah. Right? It looked good last night.
Yeah. They look good.
Is your new man? Eflin,
yeah. Eflin the Aces.
Eflin's your new man?
Yeah, he's my guy.
Saw your tweet saying all along we knew he was the ace.
All along, Eflin was the ace.
You're just tweeting people with this, right?
I'm not.
You are. Sometimes I can't tell if you're tweaking people or not.
This is the way I'm looking at it. I'm talking about now, these are the big moments down the stretch.
Uh-huh.
Wheeler, no, didn't deliver. Nola, no, didn't deliver. But with his back against the wall, who went 8 innings? Eflin the Ace is the guy. So I can only look at results. And he's been better lately, but especially better in the big moment. Because if he loses last night, the season's over. At least now I have the off day today,
uh-huh.
And I can go in tomorrow's night's game with hope. If Eflin the Ace doesn't deliver, there's no hope. I go by the Ace is the guy who's the stopper. Who stopped the losing streak? Eflin did. Who calls the losing streak? Wheeler and Nola did.
So Harper doesn't get credit for what he did last night. Well, you're ripping Harper yesterday.
Yeah, I give him big credit.
0 for 15.
Yeah, so.
Bang, two home runs last night.
That's great. So that tells me that the 0 for 15, I was right to be critical because his back felt good enough to hit two home runs yesterday.
He showed up 6 hours ahead of game time to get treatment.
I believe it. I love Bryce Harper. I'm just saying we got to be able to call balls and strikes with everybody.
Okay.
Not everybody but Bryce Harper.
All right. I did find my paper.
All right.
See, these are these little post-up, but they're pads.
Yeah, so you can rip them off.
Post-notes, but pads.
Oh, they're nice. Long,
yeah, they're lined.
Mm-hmm. Oh, much better.
Awesome.
Right.
I stumbled. Yeah, you know, I bought it, like, they're all different colors, too.
I like the blue.
You like the blue?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, anyway, the wild card situation here. So, the Reds are 29-28. They have an 86% chance to get in the playoffs. They have 3 with the Twins left, and the Twins have already clinched. The Giants are, the Cardinals are at 72%. The Cardinals have 5 with the Brewers. So they have 5 games left with the Brewers, and they're saying they're gonna win a couple enough, and they'll lose a couple of these teams. So both teams, the Cardinals will survive, the Brewers won't, is what they're saying.
Yeah.
The Giants, 66.3% chance. They have the Rockies and 4 with the Padres. And, of course, your Phillies, 3 with the Rays. And the Rays have clinched also.
Yeah, they clinched that division for
right.
the first
the
time.
The Padres have also clinched. So the Reds are playing the Twins. Twins have clinched. Giants are playing the Padres for the last 4. The Padres have clinched. Phillies are playing the Rays. The Rays have clinched. The Brewers are playing the Cardinals, who have not clinched. And the Cardinals are playing the Brewers, who have not clinched. So that's the only clash you have left, really.
Yeah.
Where they're going to knock each other out.
Yeah. Phillies just take care of their business. And Eflin made that possible. He did.
All right.
He made it possible. That's, if only Nola and Wheeler could have done what he did.
Fantastic for F-Bomb.
Yeah, he came up big.
Yeah, he did.
Now, I don't know how to be in Game 1 of the playoffs because he would be slated right now to play Game 1. But and I like his mentality. He said, if they need me this weekend to throw out of the pen, I'm here for you. That's a confident guy. Maybe he ends up putting us in the playoffs, and then we really have to give that man some more credit.
Wow.
Natalie, what's he doing here?
No, I actually...
Wait, is he...
No, the first thing he said to me when he came in today, when we were, you know, in our little hallway back there, he was like, that's my guy. Eflin's my guy.
He delivered.
That's what I'm not kidding. Those were the first words out of his mouth today.
Okay.
He delivered. I don't know if he'll deliver again. He delivered.
Well, you just called him an ace last night on Twitter.
If
you give him a title, now he's got to deliver.
He's got to deliver. I'm putting a lot of pressure on Eflin. I'm putting a lot of pressure on Eflin to deliver.
All right, instead of ace, is there like another term you can use? Like,
well, he was the
surprise.
He was the stopper.
All right, the surprise stopper.
He was the stopper.
The pleasant surprise.
All right, that's
crazier things have happened.
All right, he's all right. He's okay.
He's all right.
Yeah, he's.
But
I would get carried away.
But last night
you get carried away a tiny bit.
So why couldn't Wheeler?
Well,
and Nola do the same thing
But Wheeler's had more good games than Eflin this year, so.
Of course he has. But in the big spots, I just got to believe it.
Okay. I'm glad you believe. All right. Let's go to Thomas and Broomall to start things off. Thomas, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Thomas?
But, I had a Phillies point, Eagles point. With the Phillies, you know, the pitchers that we got, you know, from the Pivetta trade, do you think they just wipe them all out? Or, I mean, I think Workman goes, you know, for next year. He's not here. I don't know if Hembry.
I don't know what their contract situation is. Are their contracts both expiring, both of them? If they're both expiring, they're probably not going to re-sign. But if they picked up a contract, that they might not have a choice.
Yeah, because I don't know if we got rid of too many of them.
And listen, the way they're going to figure it is, they can't possibly be as bad as they were. They came with a good track record, so they'll count on them rebounding.
They'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Workman's a free agent. They probably won't go near him.
Yeah. And then the Eagles topic. So I think I agree with Ty a little bit, you know, about the fan base and Carson. I mean, he hasn't played well, you know, all the excuses and everything. But if there were fans in the stands this year, would we be far off by chanting Jalen's name?
There were probably would be some people that did that. That would be totally out of line.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't
I think you need, they have to be 2-6 for that thought to even creep into somebody's head.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Eagles win this week. It's the Bengals. It's a rookie quarterback. I don't know. You know, they're 0-2 as well. But with Jalen Hurts, I mean, we don't think that Jalen's going to be the next Lamar Jackson or that's going too high up.
I don't know what they think, to be honest with you.
I think we have more options with Jalen than we do with Carson right now. Jalen can run it. I don't know how well he can throw it, but.
Yeah, I don't think you have any option at all right now, to be honest with you. I don't know how you can project Jalen Hurts, but they think that he's going to be something. So, you know, I don't know how we can do it. I actually don't know how they can do it. They just think that.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
All right, Thomas, you got it. Listen, I can only tell you what I think is the situation. I can't predict whether Jalen Hurts is the answer that they think he is. But it's clear to me that they think he is.
Yes. And I think that, now whether it should or shouldn't is a different thing. Mm-hmm. I think part of why Carson is doing too much is because he thinks that they're replacing him.
Yeah, and so it's creeped into his head.
Yeah, now there are no excuses for how he's played. He's played terrible. Mm-hmm. I want to make that very clear.
Yeah.
But he is a human being.
Yeah, Tim McManus said that yesterday.
Yeah.
It's creeped into his head.
Yeah, because he thinks that he knows, because he's not an idiot. Mm-hmm. He knows that they drafted his replacement and he's 27 years old.
And that's why it was wrong.
Yeah.
One of the reasons.
That's one of the reasons. Wrong. Right. Because this was a possibility. And you said it in April, the day after, the Monday after the draft, you said there's a chance that if you mess with this, with the franchise quarterback's head, you fracture him and then you can fracture the locker room.
It's not good.
One more game.
If you cement your franchise a guy, then you got to go all the way. It's like love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't love the woman one day and the next day not.
Right. Consistency is important.
I mean, with the messaging. Some people can.
Well, that's a cad.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah. We know about guys like
dedicated
that.
Right.
To that. All right, let's go. Kevin in Delaware. What's up, Kev?
Hey, Mike. How you doing, Mike?
What's going on, Kev?
There's so much to talk about. But I'm going to talk about Doug Peterson, that reporter that asked him that dumbass question about throwing a pass in the National Football League should be a layup. And there's no way that you can compare the two. I've seen great basketball players miss layups. So you can't compare the two. Stupid. Doug tried to answer a dumbass question, and he got himself in a little trouble when he should have just said...
What was the dumbass question about it? Layups?
No, he said what? Something about throwing a pass and...
The layups. He called it layups. The reporter said, how come he's not completing those passes that look like layups?
It should be a layup, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and he tried to answer a dumb question.
Wait, first of all, you got to tell me what's dumb about it. Now, maybe the wrong words were used, but how come he is struggling on easy throws, which he has been?
Mike, I know that, but you cannot compare basketball and football.
Wasn't comparing basketball and football. You're just using it as a term. If he would have said, how come he's not completing the easy throws, that would have been okay with you? It's the same thing. That's what he meant.
Okay, so
it wasn't a dumb question. Now, tell me why it was justified that he answered it that way.
To me, he got himself in trouble trying to answer when he just should have took the Bill Belichick route and just said, we're on to Cincinnati.
Well, he wanted to answer the question, but why did he have to throw in the arrogance, I played in the league and you didn't, theory? Why did he have to do that? What was appropriate about that?
Because of the question. I just think the question was just a dumb question.
We're going back and forth here. It's not a dumb question because you know what the questioner's intent was. Why is he inaccurate with the clean throws?
Well, Doug was talking about the passing game. It takes a little longer.
Okay, he did answer it. My question to you, Kevin, is why did he have to say, have you ever played quarterback in the NFL? Why was that necessary?
I think because the question pissed Doug off.
Okay, again, was it fair? Did it piss them off?
I don't know whether it was fair or not. I just think it shouldn't have been asked.
We keep going around in a circle here, Kevin. Now, here's the bottom line. Did the question come off as, did he use the wrong words? I guess he disrespected the whole process in general by calling them layups. Had he said, how come, the stats say, clean 15 clean pockets, he's not completing those kind of throws. How come the easy thing, why is he struggling with the easy throws? Now, if he says it that way, does Doug Peterson say the same thing? So what's the difference whether he called it layups or not, is my point.
Right. And then his response would have been, maybe he takes out the part about, did you ever play quarterback? But instead he says, no throws easy. There's a lot of, he would end up giving the same answer.
Right.
Is the point.
Now, here's the thing. And I actually got an email from this, an angry lady named Sally emailed me on that very point.
Okay.
When I talked about it, I go, listen, if it was me at the press conference, and I was going over the top because that's what I do sometimes on Sports Talk Radio.
Right.
I go, have you ever played quarterback in the NFL? And I would go, look at him and go, no, have you? You know what the implication is, that he didn't really play a lot in the NFL.
Right.
That was my snarky way of answering.
I think most people got it.
I created a situation.
So what did Sally say?
Sally didn't like it. So Sally writes me and says, Mike, this is exactly why I don't listen to your show. I occasionally give your program a listen, but the same thing happens every time that I do. You're so arrogant. Doug Peterson played for 10 years in the NFL. I know he wasn't a starter or even that good, but a team had him on their roster for 10 years. He was 286 out of 522, which is 54.8 completion percentage, 2,762 yards. Granted, he was what he was, but you think he doesn't know what it's like to be an NFL player and play in an NFL game? Well, give the guy some respect. Most of the sports media in this town thinks they know better. And then Tyrone says, who does he think he is? Well, who the hell do you people think you are? If you haven't been there, you can talk as though you have. Just like war, you don't know until you've been there. That's what Sally Now, Sally wasn't happy.
Doug, excuse me.
So I replied to Sally.
Yeah.
And I said, well, Sally, you can choose to listen or not. But the fact is, it's always a bad look when a coach puffs his chest with the I played and you didn't narrative. And so she emailed me today and said that I applaud Doug. Now, her reply to my reply was, she did email me again today and apologized.
Oh.
But she followed my email by saying, I applaud Doug Peterson for his response because he ruffled your sensitive feathers. He didn't ruffle my feathers. I'm just saying it's a bad look when you do that because your damn general manager who picked your team didn't even play. Not one down. And not even a Pop Warner. So you got to be careful when you do stuff like that. And he goes, Philadelphia sports media are pampered babies, Sally says. Just like the media and unfortunately the general public, concerned with how something looks. No substance, just appearance. Please, please, don't say something that might offend the poor little media. Oh, no, you might fall apart. Walking on eggshells. It's BS and you know it. Try to think outside your cocoon. Is that even possible any longer, Mike?
What?
Sally's hot.
Yeah, I got.
Does Sally know that she's the consumer and that she's paying? Does Sally not want to win?
Sally doesn't understand that she is actually getting her information through the media that she calls babies.
Does Sally know that the Eagles are pulling the wool over her eyes?
This has nothing to do with back in the media. Like I don't know Jimmy Kemsky from a hole in the wall, right? Well, I know him a little bit, but. You know, I couldn't care less, but what I'm saying is a coach should not, like, play that card because it always sounds bad because you can always spin it seven different ways to discredit him. And so what he's saying is that nobody else who played in the, but anybody who played in the NFL cannot ask a question about something specific because that person hasn't played in the NFL. And that's taking it too far. That's all.
Yeah, I have happened to know that that emailer was Sally Peterson Smith, his cousin. And we're sorry for angering you by talking about your cousin there, Sally.
Sally, then this morning I get this. Mike, regarding last email, my apology for making it personal. But I stick to it. The media is overindulged altogether. Spoiled brats. Regards, Sally.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Media's the enemy.
I'm sorry.
Sally Peterson Smith.
I mean,
I appreciate it,
Mike,
Sally Peterson
Mike, are you coaching the Eagles?
No.
Are you playing quarterback, Ty?
No.
No. Oh, okay. So, like, why is the anger misdirected at the media when, like, we're just watching it, too?
Doug's the one who's coached two bad games, or at least one and a half bad games.
She obviously is very provincial towards her team and her... And she must like the coach a lot because that was the coach for a Super Bowl team. So I could see her attachment.
But I
am not making a case that the media should never be talked down to. In fact, they should all the time be talked down to. But in this particular case, when he plays that card arrogantly, it's a bad look. It's all. And it's not because he's offending the media. It's because he's offending the fan.
Right,
by saying that, because the fan never played either.
So he's telling all the fans, also, you guys can't be critical either because none of you guys know anything anyway.
So we don't appreciate you at all because you know nothing. All right? So don't even come to the stadium unless you played NFL football.
Be three people there.
610-632-0975. Come on, Sally. Call the show. Sal, if you're listening, call the show. I'll talk to Sally personally.
I wonder what Doug makes at family barbecues. Cousin Doug.
Tyrone now. See, that's not right. You're accusing her of being a family member. She's going to now send me another email.
It's Doug.
Mike Missinelli Show. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, 2:45, Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Coming up a little later, we got Hembo with some interesting Hembo stats for this Sunday's game, 3:30. At 4 o'clock, Eric Carabel with the fantasy football, the quickest 10 minutes in Sports Talk Radio with Eric Carabel. And at 4:30, we're going to get an expert opinion from sports attorney Andrew Brandt, a good friend of the show, regarding the Tyrod Taylor situation, where the team doctor tried to inject him with painkiller and punctured his lung. And what the liability of that is for either the team, that doctor, the NFL. Very interesting grounds here we want to touch on when it comes to that. I cannot believe that. I mean, that is so, like, ridiculous. That a doctor could actually do something like that.
I hope Tyrod really handles his business.
Yeah, I'll discuss what his options are. So Andrew will join us at 4:30. And also, I have a little story about me in a Home Depot today.
Okay.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
It's the caper of the stolen cart.
Oh, no. Someone stole your cart?
Well, it wasn't just the cart. It was the, you know, one of those, what do you call those things?
The flatbed cart?
Those flatbed deals.
Oh.
Huh.
However, it ties into people I think very highly of. Okay. Like somebody that I do an ad for.
Oh.
So it's an involved situation. It's actually a talking, it's a discussion.
Okay. All right.
Right? It's not just me being offended. It's a bigger picture.
Party on, Wayne.
Huh?
Party on, Wayne.
Yeah, that's a little later. when I'm in the mood to tell it. All right, let's go to Steve on a cell. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
What's up, Steve?
What do you think about the birds this year?
Can you make it more specific, the question? What do I think about the birds?
Like a bunch of plugs out on the field, just a bunch of plugs. That,
well, let's be realistic here, okay?
I am being realistic. You know, no, I'm watching the same game. What are you watching? I'm watching this game, and they're playing like a bunch of
plugs. I'm going to continue the discussion here.
Get angry. Why don't you get angry, Mike? You're from Philly, too. You should be angry like I am.
What do you think? I'm not angry? Of course I'm angry. I'm the one that said they're going to be one.
Oh, kissing ass to the Eagles. Kissing ass to Jeffrey Lord. You're a plug, too. You're being a plug just like all the plugs on the field.
You didn't have to cut him off. I wanted him to go. I wanted to keep going. I was trying to give an explanation. I'm just as angry as he is. Where I was taking the conversation with was, what do I see in our Eagles? Well, I possibly see 1-5, unless they beat San Francisco. And I'm thinking, like, they have to win. It's a must-win game because they're getting San Francisco in a weakened spot. Otherwise, they're 1-5.
I don't think the Steelers games are automatic loss.
Really?
I don't think it's an automatic loss, pending how they play on Sunday. They lose on Sunday, then everything's automatic loss.
I think Pittsburgh's going to be really tough to win. I think they have a better shot to win at San Francisco than Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think that there's a chance. It doesn't look good now, mm-hmm. that they can still be 3-3 after 6.
All right.
And San Fran and the Steelers will be the two wins, other than the Bengals.
Yeah. All right, let's go Jerry in Philly. Jerry, you're on 97.5.
Four count with the barbecue sauce and Dr. Pepper, please. Hello?
Hello, Jerry.
Oh, hold on. I'm placing my order real quick. Shut up. Let me...
The hell's going on here?
That's why I cut the last person
out. Yeah.
That's why we just keep pushing on.
All right. Dr. Pepper barbecue sauce. Sounds like it's a shindig at his house.
Yeah.
Kenny on a cell. Kenny, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Kenny?
Oh, man, that was a good one, man. I couldn't laugh at that one. Hold on. No, my question is this. I don't know what a Philly status is, but what is the odds of them making the playoffs? I mean, what are their chances?
They have a less than 50% chance right now to make the playoffs. So what they would have to do is they have to win every game and then hope that the teams that they're vying a wild card situation for don't fare as well. Or you look at the Marlins and whether they can catch the Marlins. The Marlins right now are a half a game up on the Phillies. So if the Phillies win out and the Marlins lose one of their last three, the Phillies would get that spot.
Well, I see that happening.
You see it happening?
Yes, sir.
You do? All right. Well, we shall see.
And, as far as the Eagles, I had them going 12-4, so I think they're going to win at least their next six games in a row.
Yeah, you're tripping.
That's okay.
Seriously, Kenny, you got to break that down.
How's
that going to happen?
Because Mike, it's just confidence. if you can't go nowhere but up, but as down as they are, I mean, what can you do?
No, you can't. You can go further down. Let's look at the next three games. All right, they win Cincinnati, right? Okay, then they go on the road San Francisco, then they go on the road Pittsburgh, and then they play the Ravens. How many of those games they win? All four?
Outside of the Ravens.
Outside of the Ravens. So you think they would beat Cincinnati, at San Fran, at Pittsburgh, and then lose to the Ravens?
Correct.
Okay. Well, it's going to be hard to go 12-4 when you know.
I know after you lost three.
That means they can only lose one more game the rest of the year.
That was before the season started.
Uh-huh.
Now, as far as the Sixers are concerned, mm-hmm. what is the latest rumor concerning president and player personnel?
Well, there is some consternation within the organization about cementing their front office and whether they're going to bring in anybody different and zip the guys they have and then make Elton Brand the main guy. Now, it's only a month ago, he told everybody he was the main guy, so I don't know what's going on with this whole thing.
All right. And I just want to say, hey to Natalie, because I'm a Cornell Doherty grad just like she is.
Oh, there you go.
All right, take care.
All right, Kenny. You got it, buddy. This has not been a stellar hour. Calls.
Is it a full moon?
It's a weird 2 o'clock hour. It's almost like a 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah, it's this is what happens when the sports teams are bad. You got weirdos.
All right.
A good thing is I took down the phone numbers.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh.
So they're all those people. All those people will be bad.
Oh.
They're all gone now.
Do some investigation?
Yeah, you can't do that. They think we're stupid. Mm-hmm. Like, they got that off once.
You know what you should do? After the show, you should call them with tough Tyrone voice.
Do you want to call them?
Like DMX them. Wait, come on, man. Seriously, can we do that? I'll get him too. I'll get on another line, you get on one. You get on one, I get on the other.
All right.
And I'll just screech into the phone.
610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, so 3 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philly Hembo coming up, 3:30 with Hembo Stats. 3 o'clock hour brought to us by Corporate Leafs Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie, hoagie party trays, every bit as good. So Tyrone, I see that you are wearing a Rutgers shirt, but this is not just a Rutgers shirt, like that's off the rack. This is special Rutgers shirt, right?
Yes indeed.
And this was sent to you by whom?
By head coach of Rutgers University of football, Greg Schiano, personally sent this shirt to me.
Greg Schiano personally sent you a Rutgers football shirt.
And a few other things as well.
Oh, really? And a card.
Yep, handwritten.
A handwritten card. And so tell the people what the handwritten card
was. Well, it mentioned that he enjoyed the show. First off.
So he's watched the show.
Yes, number one. Number two, he invited me up to campus once the COVID calms down. Which was very kind of him. They also mentioned that it's nice to have a Rutgers guy opposing the Penn State guy that's sitting in the other room.
Oh, that's what he said, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he used to be an assistant at Penn State.
I think that was tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah. I appreciate the fact that he's trying to get people to pay attention to a program that frankly, not a lot of people pay attention to.
I'd say if you,
so I wish him the best.
I like his
in
style.
In that conference, I wish him the best.
I like his style. You know, if you want a coach out there that's going to be about football and not be all up in the videos, like Franklin at Penn State, come to Rutgers.
Well, listen, don't throw Franklin at me. You know how I feel about him.
You know, Franklin's always front and center, taking the shine away from the athletes at Rutgers.
You see me wearing Franklin t-shirts?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
I know. Right. I'm just saying. Okay. And now Penn State, I mean, I admit, Rutgers this year is going to be tough. But when somebody's young, this year's going to be tough.
Listen, man, I appreciate Shiano. Kiss every ass you can, my friend. Just keep kissing.
I believe him. No, he's the only coach that's ever won there in the modern era. He's going to win there again.
I know. I hope he does. I hope it's wonderful.
So I can't wait to be May. It's 2020. We're September 2020. By September 2023, we'll be making Penn State Rutgers bets on the games because they'll have Rutgers back rolling by then.
2023?
It's going to take some time. You got to recruit. Got to get the kids in. This high school season's being disrupted.
Think he's going to make inroads in the Big Ten in 3 years?
I believe so.
I hope he does.
I believe they will.
Better conference.
I believe that they will become a regular bowl team like they were before.
Yeah. Hey, give you the insight on that. You know who put him up to that?
I know who put him up to it.
Our friend Broccoli Rob.
Yeah.
Who used to be an intern here. Who now works in the PR Rutgers football PR, and he's a big. He keeps up with us all the time.
Yeah, he's
Broccoli Rob Rosselli.
Yeah, I talk to Mr. Rosselli quite often.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't contact.
Okay. All right.
But the point is, the coach took the time to send the handwritten letter.
That was really nice.
Got all the goodies.
That's a great shout-out.
I can't wait to set up. Assuming that I'm back on Sixers Outsiders, there'll be some all new Rutgers stuff in my background.
Oh boy.
Courtesy
that's a nice block
coach.
R.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah, I think it all.
Gentlemen?
Yeah.
You guys got the block R and the block T. You know, you guys got nice logos.
Looking good.
I'll say that.
Yep. Some of these Pennsylvania kids.
I had nothing to do with this. I didn't say a word.
No, I'm just saying. You guys have really. Block letters are classic. It's a classic look. A block T, a block R for Temple and Rutgers.
What, you have blue?
Well, we don't need block letters. So the Nittany Lion speaks for itself. We don't need to.
The owl is wise.
We don't need the big R. All right.
Rutgers and Temple working together. But I just think that, you know, listen, kids, if you're out there and you don't want to coach all up in the videos, again, you go to Rutgers.
You're talking to the recruits now?
You don't want to coach all up in the videos.
It's a violation.
Go to Rutgers.
That must be an NCAA violation in some form.
I'm not being paid.
Well, yes, you did get paid. You got graft. And now you're recruiting kids. I'm turning your ass in. Hello, NCAA? Car Wash in Germantown. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Car Wash.
Oh, Mike, what's going on,
buddy? What's up, Wash? What's going on?
Oh, man, I love this show, man. I don't care what fans say. Hey, I roll Raider back memories. You know, one of my customers, and we have a good relationship. He still come to me now. He was a cornerback for Rutgers. And I used to go up there and watch his practice after, you know, I would detail his car and all that. Ask Tyrone, do he remember Brandon Bing? And he used to play cornerback. I go up to the practice at Greg Schiano. His favorite words when he would tell the team is this right here. Dig deep and keep chopping. Keep chopping.
Wow. I can't wait. I think we should turn the rest of the show into Rutgers football show.
I'm okay.
Now, you okay with that?
I can't with you guys.
Devin McCourty is the Rutgers cornerback that, you know, in the league. What else you want to talk about, Wash?
I want to talk about Sarah real quick, telling him to stop it because it was a legitimate question. Stop it. Mike Pisanelli has one of the best shows, sports talk radio in the country. Don't do that.
Yeah, she's entitled to think any way she wants. I appreciate her letter. Sally was fired up. I like people that react that way. Sally was okay.
Mike, man, I just appreciate your show, man. I love Wednesdays. I learn a lot. Man, listen, yesterday I was super busy. I wanted to call. Man, you was talking about the Godfather, Michael Corleone and all.
Very disappointing, man. I tell you, Anthony and I were talking about this today. He was equally disappointed with the people.
Me too.
Yeah, they didn't plug into the greatest movie of all time. One guy goes, cannoli on me? Come on.
Greatest.
Yo, hey, Mike.
What?
Don't ever go against the family. Don't you ever go against the family, ever.
Fredo, you're my older brother, and I love you.
No question. Mm-hmm. But, Mike, man, I don't like what Doug Peterson did, man. I don't like it at all. The man just asked a simple question, and I like the fact that he called him out on the carpet for it. Listen, we praise Carson Wentz when he plays well, but you got to take the criticism when you play bad. This is Philadelphia, Carson. If Doug and Carson don't want criticism, then go coach in San Diego or go play in San Diego. Go somewhere. But guess what? We're passionate about football. Doug, know that? Man, listen, we love the Eagles. You hear me?
We love all of them. See, here's the thing, Carl. I appreciate your comments. The truth is, they all think that way, okay? If you're a pro athlete and somebody's asking you questions that's never played, you always have that impression. You know, in the back of your mind, every pro athlete's going, look at this silly SOB asking me this. He never played football in his life, doesn't understand what we go through. They all think that. Problem is, you just can't say. It's like us here. Now, we're always challenged on, like, somebody always knows more than we do, right? And the truth is, we spend a lot more time with sports than does the average person. So we are naturally around it more, and we're spending more hours of a day doing research, studying it, whatever. But and so we, when a caller goes, I know more than you, or he writes me, says, I know more than you, you should be gone. I go, all right, we can think that we know more than you, but we can't say it. Like, it's bad form to say it. Like, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're, well, sometimes I do that, but you know the point I'm trying to make here is that we have to talk to people about their opinions.
Right, with a certain level of decorum and respect.
Right, and we're not getting respected for our knowledge at all.
At all. You talked about that years ago, how, like, they'll take a wine critic that they never met, and his words the gospel.
Exactly.
The sports talk person who works every day that they know.
Correct.
Oh, he's an idiot.
Yeah. But so the point is that, yeah, Doug, okay, you've got more of a football pedigree than that guy who's asking the question. But you don't have to say it. Because if there are fans out there that are thinking they know some football and they can analyze and they can criticize your decision, and you're totally negating any opinion they have by saying, have you ever played quarterback in the NFL? No, people haven't. They haven't. You got that on them. All right? You got it on them. Can't take that away from you, Dougie. All right. Let's go to Chris in Rahway. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris. What's wrong? There's some very miserable people out there, man.
Well,
there really are.
He's been under siege back there.
Yeah,
He's been under siege back there.
He has?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's grown men sitting somewhere probably together, and they think that it's funny to be adults and to be calling a sports talk radio show and prank calling them as grown adults.
Oh.
What I'm getting from these calls.
All right.
Because actual grown men who listen and have intelligent sports thoughts would never call and do that to, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's some very lonely people out there.
Is it lonely?
Yeah, it's a loneliness. It's insecurity.
Yeah, it's tough. I could imagine you're 30 plus, never know the touch of a woman or a man. It's got to be crippling for you, so you take it out on somebody else. I could understand it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't agree with it, and I don't live it. But I could understand. I would be every bit as pathetic if I was their age, by myself, with no ladies.
Well, at least they have each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dave in Center City. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dave? Dave!
Funky mess.
What's up?
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine.
The A-team is the A-team because they have the most knowledge anywhere. Natalie Eganoff, who is a third stringer on the A team, has more local sports knowledge than those stunads at the other end of the dial. But let's get down to business. Mike.
Dave, even when you say things as a compliment, they don't come out that way. It's interesting. You're an interesting man, but go ahead.
Mikey Miss.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to save this for B West tomorrow, but I'm going to be in an all-day picnic in Rittenhouse Square Park with a Jennifer Love Hewitt lookalike. So You're going to have to
That's not
this
true!
Question. Oh, I love you, Club Tyrone. MG, question.
Yeah. Yes.
This kid hurts, okay? Let me play along with the band, okay? People are hoping the Eagles go 5-11, which is not going to happen, and they're going to move Carson out of here. What happened in Jalen Hurts is going to be the starter. You cannot use him in the same capacity, the same type of offense that Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson run, because they've been a train wreck in the playoffs.
They're going to reinvent something. They're not going to run the same offense. This is the whole point. They can use this guy to invent this whole new thing.
Well, it's just a hypothetical situation. That gentleman that said the Eagles are going to go 12-4, he's right on. Mike, can I get a good Joe DiMaggio story in? My father, God rest his soul, the 1950 World Series, when the Yankees were here, Joe D is coming out of a movie theater or a play, and my father spots him automatically. And Joe DiMaggio, a pleasure, you know, like he was the Pope. So Joe D has the flyer from the play in his hands. So he signs it to Dominic, the New York Yankees number one fan. And, of course, my father was a diehard Phillies fan. So,
that was a tremendous story. I was gripping the handrails there because I they really sucked me in with that one.
Oh man,
what day is it?
You really almost made me fall out of my chair.
That was breathtaking. I was holding on to the console here like
oh, wait till sound off. Oh, in that vein, wait till sound off later.
Wait, 3:15.
Wait till sound off. If we can make it alive, which is not a good.
Oh my God!
Wait till what sound off. In that vein. Oh my goodness.
I thought like something was going to happen in that story.
Yeah.
You know, because he's so eager to tell it.
I was like, but I thought Joe D was going to do something. He thought he was a Yankees fan because he's a Joe DiMaggio fan.
And all of a sudden, Joe pulled Marilyn right out of his pants. Right?
I couldn't believe it. They started arguing. Remember the argument they got when she did that scene over the grate? My dad was there. That would have been the greatest story.
And then he turns to me and he says, you know what? Mickey Mantle was a putz. Something like that.
I couldn't stand him. Yeah, like couldn't stand
him. Kramer has better New York Yankees stories than
him and Joe Pepitone.
God, I can't take it. Lou and Drexel Hill. Lou, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Lou?
Nothing much. Hey, I got 2 points. I want to make a comment in regards to Doug's comments earlier. Then I want to talk to you guys about, you know, why I think Wentz is the least of our concerns here. I mean, first off, obviously, I'm not going to, you know, think it's okay for Doug to talk down on you guys. But you know what? I might be the first one to think this, but my first thought was, wow, he actually has Carson's back. He's never really stood up for Carson.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, like a few days ago, he was saying, well, that's a good question, when asked about his regression. That now, all of a sudden, he's his biggest buddy.
I know. But, I mean, in terms of always issues, I mean, I've seen ups and downs with Carson. I'm still extremely confident in him, but we have so many other issues on this team. If you want to give me a second, I can kind of run through. Safety. We got Jalen Mills, seventh round draft pick as a cornerback. I mean, he's not cutting it, man. He can't tackle anybody. Linebackers. I mean, we got second and third string guys starting. I mean, Gary can't get off blocks. They can't tackle anybody. And because of that, the Rise are in the backfield, and it's hurting us in the passing game. We got our DNs. I mean, Barnett's okay, but he's never healthy. Graham's old. He's slowing down, and Sweat just, I mean, he just stinks, man. So you got no pass rush. And then on the offensive side, wide receivers, we got Jackson literally on his last leg. We got two or three rookies playing. I mean, Whiteside, he just stinks, man. Every time I see him, I think of Metcalf. And then O-line, I mean, we have depth issues. There's so many more issues out there on this team. And
there are a lot of issues. Yes, there are a lot of issues. But you know, Alshon Jeffrey might be back soon, and you know that'll solve something. It'll help out. You're right about the linebackers. It's too soon to judge Jalen Mills at safety yet. He hadn't played well. Like, he hadn't played great in the first two games. But you know, it's only his second game, and I think they're going to win on Sunday. So we'll probably have a different perspective, a little bit of a different perspective. Now, regarding the, I don't care that a coach snaps at a media. I really don't. In fact, I enjoy it sometimes. If a media guy has to come armed with solid questions based on observation or issue or whatever it is. So, you know, they can't come in weak either. And if a media guy asks a stupid question, I don't have any problem with the coach going, well, that's a ridiculous question, and here's why. I don't have a problem. We're just talking about this one thing where he went NFL on him. And to me, that's just, it opens up too many things. First of all, I understand you played in the NFL, but you're not that great. You weren't that great to have this, like, this attitude that, well, so you didn't play in the NFL. Come on, dude. Take what you did in the NFL and you know, put it in a case and be happy with it. But don't rub it in anybody's face.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, same thing. It happens with radio people sometimes. People that work in radio for 6 months, and then down the road, they'll be telling, I worked in the business. I know what radio is like. Like, did you work in the business? Like, same thing kind of thing happened. I've seen they'll talk, now the social media gives everybody a platform. Yeah. I worked with that guy for a long time. Like, 20 years ago for 6 months, and then that was it.
I got you.
Same thing.
All right, so let me tell this quick story. So I'm in Home Depot.
All right.
So I got to get some topsoil and peat moss. Big peat. You know, the big, luggy peat moss thing.
Yes.
Because I'm working on, I got a couple, like, little dishes around my area. I was a film up. So I get the thing. What's it called? The flatbed?
The flatbed thing. Yeah.
So I roll that thing in there, and I roll it all the way to where the peat moss should be, and they don't have it stacked up there. So last time I went to Home Depot, the peat moss was in the parking lot.
Okay.
It was still in the skids.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I moved the cart over to the opening where the fence is open and get you entry to the parking lot where they got a bunch of stuff stacked.
Okay.
So I moved the thing there. I go through the fence, and there are guys with forklifts putting up stuff. And I'm thinking, all right, but they didn't have any peat moss. They weren't stacking peat moss. So they were all totally out of peat moss.
Okay.
So I walk back through the fence. My cart's, my flatbed's gone.
Who took it?
I see a guy loading up with my thing with topsoil. So a guy took my thing, like, right at the entrance of the fence that I went through.
Okay.
Wheeled it around, used it for himself to stack topsoil.
And wait, so there was nothing on the cart?
Nothing on the cart.
I don't know.
All right. So it was nothing on the car. That means it's up for grabs.
How long were you gone for?
I just walked through the fence to see if there's any peat moss, and I came back.
That's a complete violation. You have to go get the cart from the proper place.
And that's where I got it. I got the cart from the front of the parking lot and wheeled it in.
They stacked those flatbed out in that.
Do you think he thought it was discarded?
Well, no, he probably did think it was discarded.
Or he's just an opportunist.
Or he's just an opportunist.
That, yeah.
So I go to the guy. I say to the guy, hey, excuse me, did you take that car from me? He goes, yeah. I go, that was mine. And he didn't say anything. He didn't say sorry. So I got to go schlep and get another thing. Now I look at him. Guess who it is? It's a guy from Natural Lawn.
You're kidding.
Yes. So now I feel kinship with the guy. So I reverse my thinking. Being angry, instead of being angry with the guy, I go, I laud the guy because at least he's trying to fix somebody else's lawn with topsoil.
That's true. Yeah, okay, see, that's good.
He's in a time crunch. That's the working
there
man.
You right. Go. Oh, so he's okay. Actually earnest because they fertilize a seed. I didn't know they did the topsoil. He probably said, let me fix this guy's little topsoil before right. I do the thing. And I started to admire it because it's the greatness of people from Natural Lawn.
Those guys do a great job at Natural Lawn.
Full circle.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do a great
full
job.
Circle.
So but I think that that's a
my
good
man
thing.
Did pilfer. My flatbed.
But for a good reason. He, for all we know, he's charging by the hour this particular job. He gets back quicker with the topsoil. It saves the customer money.
Well, he didn't come in the same entrance I did, where the flatbeds are stacked. He just walked in.
He probably was checking.
He was checking to
make sure they had the right kind. Because you know he was just grabbing any old kind of topsoil. He's grabbing premium.
Only one kind of topsoil.
Nah, they got premium soil.
No, they don't. They got
premium soil.
Topsoil is one brand of topsoil. The rest is garden soil and all that stuff. The topsoil is it's like $3 a bag.
I have those guys come out to my lawn.
Yeah, they're good people.
Feed and seed.
And
that's right. They feed and seed. 610-632-0975. Guess who's coming up? Hembo with some Hembo stats for the Eagles and the Bengals this Sunday. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, it's 3:30, Mike Missinelli Show. And it's time to get up there in our Twitter poll. And that's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Eganoff. Nat?
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll, we have over 600 votes on it so far. Are you fatigued with the current Philadelphia sports landscape? 80% say yes, a lot of negativity. 20% say no, ready for a comeback.
All righty. Well, listen. The Eagles need a win on Sunday. I believe they're going to get it. It's home. It's against a team that's, the quarterback's been making some noise, but they're not good enough to, I think the Eagles win the game. But there are Hembo stats that can change our mind in a blink. He is the great Paul Hembokidis from ESPN show Get Up, and he joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast as he does every Thursday. Hembo, what's up?
Mike Missinelli, it is good to hear your voice as always, although since the last time we spoke, a lot of bad things have happened to our favorite football team.
Yes, and we won't get into the Carson Wentz stats for right now because we have some other we have some other fish to fry. I saw your boy Greeny attack the quarterback today with some stats undoubtedly provided by you.
I mean, that was a passion project that I was the brainchild of it, so you're not surprised to hear. I joked around to him before the show. I said, "You, Greeny, today are a vessel of my frustration for Carson Wentz," and he did it for me.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a second, but first, let's look at the Bengals and what kind of a challenge they will present the Eagles this Sunday.
Well, hopefully, not much of one. On defense, they might be the worst tackling team in the NFL. Mike, you missed. In two games, Cincinnati has allowed 187 rushing yards. After contact alone, that's more than 2.5 yards per carry. Also, their corners also don't do a nearly good enough job in man coverage on the perimeter of the field. They allow 10 yards per attempt and 16 yards per completion on throws to the sideline. So that sort of inside-outside formula for the Eagles, I think 25 or so touches for Miles Sanders and 10 targets for DeSean Jackson, I think that's you keep it really simple this week and attack those two weaknesses.
Okay, that sounds manageable for this quarterback, right?
I would think so. Obviously, there was a pretty steady helping of Miles Sanders last week, too. But when they had to stretch the ball downfield, they just couldn't. But the Rams' corners are a heck of a lot better than the Bengals are.
Okay, let's get into how the Bengals are going to play offensively now with this kid. He's been okay. He hasn't been really jittery. He's been fairly successful. The team hasn't been, but tell me about the Bengals and the passing attack with Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I thought he's represented himself pretty well so far through two games. Mikey, if they pass the ball with 72% frequency, that's the third highest rate in the league, despite having a rookie quarterback, like you said. But that quarterback, Joe Burrow, he owns a QBR of 80 against the base defense, four defensive backs, but a QBR of 48, 32% lower, with five or more defensive backs on the field. So, given the Eagles' obvious coverage issues at the linebacker position and Cincinnati's propensity to drop back, I think Jim Schwartz would be wise to use that nickel or even that dime as his default on Sunday.
Well, that probably plays right into Schwartz's hands, I would think, right?
Yes, I would think so, too. I think they'll probably play even more man than they have the first 2 weeks. The zone has been dreadful, and the linebackers have been terrible in coverage. But as far as I can tell, like, you're going to have to make the Bengals beat you on the ground. They want to drop it back. Joe Burrow threw 61 passes against the Browns last week. If he even comes close to approaching that number on Sunday, I think the Eagles would have to win that game pretty easily.
All right, the third thing we always talk about is the betting trends. And I don't know how to take this next stat that you're going to give me. So go ahead with it.
Yeah, so most of the history here doesn't favor the Eagles. So I've given this one to you before, and I'll repeat it again because we've gotten burned. But over the last 3 years, going back to 2018, the Eagles are 3-11 against the spread as a home favorite. They're 8-16 against the number when favored anywhere. That, of course, includes the first two games this season. Also, in what can only be described as inexplicable and certainly irrelevant, but in my case, interesting, Cincinnati, Mikey Miss, is 13-0 all time against the Eagles, against the spread. That's the best mark by any one team over any other team in the history of the NFL. Now, obviously that has no bearing on what happens on Sunday, but as a statistician, of course, I had to throw that in the mix.
Yeah, see, these kind of stats, I go, what do they mean? Because we're talking about different teams every year. So, like, if the Eagles are 3-11 against the spread as a home favorite, that stat merely means nothing because teams change every year.
Oh, it means absolutely nothing. That stat isn't predictive. That stat is for Eagles fans that have been watching this team 30 years, and every 4 years we can't figure out why we can't beat Cincinnati. That's all.
So you're scaring people away from betting Eagles with this. 3-11 against the spread as a home favorite. I can't bet them this week.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. I still think our friends out there are juicing the line a little bit in the Eagles' favor. They still think the Eagles are better than they are, or at least have played, or at least that's what they view as the public sentiment. And I can't quite get there because we're not talking about like a small sample here, man. We're going back 3 years, and they're juicing the line in the Eagles' favor. And if you're betting money on the Eagles, you're getting burned.
All right, the line has gone down, has it not, Tyrone? The line has gone down. It's down to 5. Oh my. All right, yeah, it's Fletcher Cox's status, bro.
It's bizarre.
Oh, man.
4.5 in some places.
Okay, so now we talked about the percentages last week. When they start 0-2, the percentage is not good that they make the playoffs. So let's go over those now so people really get buttoned down on them.
this is ugly, so buckle your seatbelt. The Eagles opened the season with a 64% chance to make the playoffs, according to our football power index, Mike Missanelli. That figure is now just 10%. After two games. But our model does give the Eagles a 61% chance to beat the Bengals. That equates to a 3.5-point favorite, even more conservative than Vegas. The Eagles are, however, in spinning this thing forward, they're an underdog in each of the next three and in four of their next five. So I said last week I'm not willing to throw around the term must win. It's useless, especially then. But given the upcoming schedule, I don't think it's hyperbole to say this is a must-win game for the Eagles.
All right, can we calculate if they do win the game, what their percentage to make playoffs? Where does it go up to?
Yes, I looked. It's less than 20 still because the game doesn't have a lot of leverage. Which is to say, because the upcoming schedule is so unfavorable, like obviously the number dips by a considerable amount if they lose because you're 0-3 and your schedule gets tougher. But even if you win, you're still 1-2 and your schedule gets way tougher. So I can text you those exact numbers, but it doesn't paint that pretty of a picture even if you do win.
Okay. All right. Before I let you go, the stuff that Greeny was saying about Wentz, I know it came from your little sack over there. I mean, your carry bag is what I meant. So, like, so throw something out there that kind of paints the picture of how bad he's been.
So, in my judgment, the best way to describe Carson Wentz's play so far this season, or the best number, is 20, and that's the number of off-target throws attributed to him. These aren't incompletions. These aren't drops. These aren't things that you can attribute to anyone else. He's in two games, 20 off-target throws. That's the most in the NFL. But perhaps most concerning, Mike Missanelli, is that 15 of those 20 off-target throws, 15 of them have come inside a clean pocket. For context, Russell Wilson has 11 incompletions this year of any kind. Lamar Jackson has 11 incompletions this year of any kind. 15 off-target throws inside a clean pocket is an absurd figure over a two-game span for any quarterback, let alone a quarterback the stature of Carson Wentz. And when you consider the way that Kyler Murray, and when you consider the way that Dak Prescott played against common opponents that the Eagles have played, it should make us feel not so good, to say the least. And I guess the last thing I would say while I'm rolling is that it's really easy to watch him taking all these sacks and being pressured and jump to the conclusion that we can blame the offensive line. And you can take this for whatever it's worth. But our metrics, our internal metrics, have the Eagles fifth in pass protection. So, and we judge that, that's a standard rubric across the board, which is to say, we think that he's making the offensive line way worse than they're making him look.
All right, so you know what that stat does? That stat then leads to a question from a reporter about layups that he's not completing, which leads the head coach to go steamy on him, going, did you ever play quarterback in the NFL? Which leads us to comment on it, which leads then to some woman named Sally ripping me on email.
I love that bit of sound. You can tell Doug Peterson, he's so cranky, he's so tired of answering these questions. Earlier in the week, someone asked him about his quarterback regressing after 5 years, and he answered, that's a good question.
Yeah.
If after 5 years of marriage, someone asks you how your marriage is doing, you would say, that's a good question. That's
it's
usually indicative of the fact that your marriage is not doing
so
well. I'm telling you, I think we're starting to, I think the wood is kindling.
I think you might be right. Hembo, always great to talk to you. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
You're a good man. Go Birds.
There he is. That's Hembo. Yeah, see that stat, the 15 in the pocket, leads Jimmy Kemsky to ask Doug about how come he's not completing layups.
Right.
And that triggers that, which triggers this, and which triggers Sally.
Yeah.
It all leads to Sally.
Our gal Sal. 610-632-0975. I want to hear from Sally today. Sally, if you're listening, come on, Sal.
She's at the shore.
Give us a call. It's the Mike Missanelli Show. We're back after this.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, it's 3:45. Let me tell you what's coming up at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock is a big, big hour here on the Mike Missanelli Show. Big minute, actually. So at 4 o'clock, our Fanatic football pool will engage again. That's right, the Fanatic football pool presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. We have a football field-shaped baby pool. We're filling it with cash and prizes. And at 4 o'clock, we're going to tell you to call our contest line. If you're caller number 5, you're going to be lucky enough to win $100 right out of the chute. But you'll also be qualified if you answer a trivia question for our grand prize, which is everything in the pool, including a snowblower, including a year's supply of snacks from Hers, a fire pit from Landis Block and Concrete, $1,000 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Yeah, all that stuff is in there, along with the other little gadgety items that we'll have fun with. So that's coming up at 4. And also, Eric Carabell. So it'll be fantasy football information. To get a question to Eric, hit me up on my email, which is mikemiss@975thefanatic.com, or my Twitter, which is mikemiss975, and we'll give as many questions as we can to Eric Carabell at 4 o'clock. All right, let's go to Jim in New York. Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
Hey, Mike. Good afternoon.
What's up, Jim?
I'm agreeing with Tyrone that Eflin is going to be the ace of the staff. Now, we notice the last few games, he's been working that curveball, And now he has an out pitch, and his pitch count is down. That's the only problem he's had ever since he's been with the Phillies, is like Vasquez, the pitch count's too high. But now he's got an out pitch.
Yeah, you mean Velasquez. But listen, I can't take Zach Eflin seriously. I mean, he's had two decent starts in a row. The start before, he got shelled by the Marlins, gave up 8 hits and 4 runs in 4 innings. And the start before, 5 innings and 8 hits. So, you never know what you're going to get. Come on.
Well,
he's no ace. My God, they're lucky. They're lucky he can be the third guy.
Well, the end of last year, he was their best pitcher there for a while.
You got two guys. You're disrespecting the two guys that are much better pitchers than he is.
Well, I don't think they're that much better. I mean, look what's happening right now.
Are you taking Eflin's season as a whole, or are you just looking at last night?
No.
His ERA was over 5. 3 starts ago, his ERA was over 5.
Yes, I know. But he's developed that curveball, and he just started using it.
Oh, he just started. So there's a new Eflin now, we're saying.
Yes.
Oh, all right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I don't have
it. It was a pitch away, and this pitch is doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's going to strike everybody out with that curveball, but that's what
it is. I don't have as much faith in him as you do. I hope he can be successful when he has to pitch in game 1 of the playoffs if they start it, but I can't, he doesn't make me feel confident.
I've been a Philly fan since the 1950s. I'm an old guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even want the Phillies to go into the playoffs this year because I live in a place that's all New York fans, and that bullpen will embarrass me. So I don't want to be.
Well, come on now, Jim. It's better that they get in than not.
Why?
Well, because it's always better. No, it's not a joke. It won't be a joke. They could get lucky. They could get good starting pitching in the first couple of games. And I don't know what they're going to do in game 2. But it's better that they get in than not. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
You get in, you still have you have a chance.
You never know. And this offense at times has exploded for a lot of runs.
They can score some runs.
Yeah, and maybe the guy Harper starts feeling better. Romuto feels a little bit better. You got a nice lineup.
See what you started with this Eflin now.
Guy delivered last night.
Yeah, and 3 starts ago he gets shelled by the Marlins.
Yeah, and 1
2
starter,
starts ago.
Last start, Nola wasn't good enough. I'm just saying that when it was time to deliver, this week, 1 pitcher delivered. Eflin ace. The other 2 guys didn't deliver, and the bullpen didn't deliver.
You did it, my man. Just called. You got him believing the same thing.
Well, how about this? Let's see what happens this weekend and see if Nola and Wheeler can actually do their job Eflin just did.
Eflin did 1 job.
Well, I need them to do 1 job each this weekend, and then our third game is what it is.
All right. Let's go to Andre in Delaware. Andre, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Andre.
Yo,
what's going on, Andre?
Hey, man. I just want to comment on that poll. I think all Philadelphia fans should be grateful that, all their teams made it to the playoffs or even have a chance to go into the playoffs.
What?
Some cities' teams don't even have a chance of making it to the playoffs.
Come on, man. You can't have that kind of attitude in a big city.
No,
like Philadelphia.
I mean, I want the championship, but I'm just saying.
Well, like, we can't have your attitude. That it's just nice that they're playing. Come on.
No,
this is a major city.
It could be worse, though, Mike. That's what I'm saying.
Well, it could be worse. I could live in the middle of the country where they don't care. I live in St. Louis where they love everything.
Right.
I live here. This is a major metropolitan northeastern corridor city.
Right, Mike. I'm a big fan of all 4 teams, just like you. But I'm just.
The stakes are different for here.
Yeah,
stakes are different, Andre, because this is like the 5th largest market in the country. So you should have a team befitting of that kind of a size.
Mike, I get you. Trust me, I want a championship from every team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's what I want to comment about the Eagles. Okay. I mean, what we need to do is still give it a benefit of the doubt that it was no preseason, even though we should realistically be 1-1 because there's no way we should have lost that first game.
Yeah.
Right.
Let me ask you a question. Did the first 2 teams that they played, did they have a preseason that I didn't know about?
No, they didn't.
Okay. Andre, you are soft.
No,
you're soft, Andre.
I'll be a little realistic here.
Right? Realistic? Well, the Rams didn't have a preseason either. They flew all the way across the country and kicked the Eagles' butt.
But their team was a little bit more intact than ours playing us, though. That's what I'm saying. But, Mike, all right, so this is what I want to mention before we let you go.
Go ahead, Andre.
All right, so if Wentz would stop throwing, you know, momentum interceptions, like, you know, the defense is starting to get to the quarterback last week, and then Wentz threw that interception, now everybody's morale went down, so then now St. Louis is going up on us.
Oh, so, yeah, that was big.
I think our offense is, like, trending. It was a little bit better cohesiveness than the first game. The second game, but I think we're trending upwards, Mike. I think we're going to win the next year.
You're Mr. Sunshine, man. I want to get some of your sunshine down there. Delaware sunshine? Yeah,
look, Mike, you got to look at the positive.
Yeah, you looked at every positive here. I admire that. I'm not like that, but I admire it. All right, 4 o'clock is coming up. 4 o'clock, big time stuff. Football pool. Eric Carabel, fantasy football questions for Eric Carabel in 5 minutes on the Mike Missinelli Show. Back after this,
the Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, it's a big 4 o'clock hour. A lot of action happening in this 4 o'clock hour, and it's brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at LandisBC.com. All right, it is time to engage our listeners with Fanatic Football Pool. That's right. Call the contest line right now. 215-263-0975. That's 215-263-0975. If you're caller number 5, you will be locked in for $100. And you hold on a little bit, and it will ask you a football trivia question. If you answer that one correctly, you'll be in the grand prize drawing to win the Fanatic Football Pool and everything in it. And there's some good stuff in it. Good luck to you. Hopefully, you're caller number 5. And in the meantime, it is Thursday. And every Thursday at this time, we bring in the ace of fantasy football for ESPN. And Natalie, he is brought to us by
Family & Company Jewelers. If you're thinking about getting engaged, make Family & Company Jewelers your first stop for your fantasy engagement ring. Family & Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination.
All right. Of course, he is the great Eric Carabel. Hello, Eric Carabel.
Mike, you're too kind. How are you, sir?
Ah, we're doing fantastic. All right, let's start. Let's get right into it here because I always like to go Eagles on you. Now, there's Burrow could be a play against this defense, or could the Eagles offense be a play because they're not very good defensively? Are you looking at any particular players in this game?
Burrow's a good play. He's a much better player than Wentz is. The Eagles can obviously be thrown on. There's no pass rush. Cincinnati has good wide receivers. The Eagles do not. I've got Burrow as the number 12 quarterback this week, and I've got Wentz 18. Wentz is number 25 among quarterbacks after 2 weeks. He's worse than Teddy Bridgewater. And I don't think that's going to get any better this week. You can throw in Cincinnati, but who's he throwing to? He's got two tight ends. One of them looks disinterested, and you know which one I'm talking about. So I just don't think this Eagles passing game is going to get well just because they're playing a bad opponent.
Mm. All right, how about Miles Sanders?
He's great. I have no problem with Miles Sanders. He had a nice work last week. Obviously, Boston Scott's not doing much, so it's Miles Sanders. Cincinnati has a good running back, too. That's the difference here. They have a more balanced offense with Mixon. But I think Miles Sanders is the best play if you got an Eagle here. Obviously, both tight ends are in play. You can make the case for Goddard over Ertz if you want, but I think both of them are top 10 tight ends because there's nowhere else other than Sanders for Wentz to throw the ball to when he's accurate. Should be a high-scoring game because neither team can defend very well. But, you know, Wentz has to fix things here with his decision-making first. and his accuracy. It's not all the offensive line. It's not all because of DeSean Jackson and the coaching. It's him.
I see. You kind of like Burrow. I mean, 12 is not that high, but you kind of like him, and you like Mixon.
Yeah, I like them both. And I think Cincinnati's got A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd, too. So it's potentially dynamic offense. And Burrow as a rookie, we almost never have a rookie quarterback ranked well. But Burrow, what he did at LSU last season and the way he's looked the first 2 weeks, I think he's going to end up being a fantasy starter pretty soon in this league.
Wow. All right. We'll see what happens. Any particular guys that just bust out at you, either quarterback, wide receiver, or running back this week?
I mean, obviously the big game this week is the Monday game between Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. But one of those two defenses is better than the other. So I have Jackson ahead of Mahomes. In fact, I have a couple other quarterbacks ahead of him. Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray. These guys use their legs. That's something interesting. Watch out for that game tonight. Jacksonville does not have its kicker or its top wide receiver. So please make sure you go through your active lineup and get the right guys in there. But there's other quarterbacks. Tannehill against Minnesota. They can't defend against the pass. Trubisky, Atlanta, that was embarrassing last week. Trubisky should throw well this week. And Tom Brady, that's a big one at Denver. He's got to bounce back here or else we might just give up on Brady for the season.
All right, let's get to the people's questions on email and on Twitter. First of all, let's go with a quarterback question from Tyler. Do I start Breeze or Rodgers?
It's not Breeze. It really isn't. And we don't know if he's going to have Michael Thomas for that Monday game. So I think Rodgers is actually a pretty decent player this week against Breeze's team. But to me, Breeze is a big risk. He's not throwing the ball downfield at all.
All right. Brian says, is Gurley ever going to deliver this year?
No. He has broken zero tackles so far this year. It's really hard to do to be a starting running back and break zero tackles. He's a goal line guy only, catches no passes. Trade him now if you can. He should never be a top 20 running back in our rankings.
Interesting. Okay. Matt needs help choosing the better tight end in his PPR league. Goddard or Tyler Higbee this week?
I have Higbee. I do think Higbee, who had three touchdowns against us, but even against a team that has linebackers, I still think Higbee is a play every week. And the Eagles tight ends basically take away from each other. So they're both in my top 10, but Higbee is a definite top 10 guy.
All right. Now, all the way from Phoenix, Drew is trying to get your attention here with this question. I'm decimated with injuries. Do I go with DeAndre Swift or Ronald Jones?
Yeah, that's decimated. I think Swift is the call here. He's a guy catching passes. Ronald Jones is clearly the number two running back there for Tampa Bay. But with Detroit, I do think Swift is going to get more and more run. They can't keep playing Adrian Peterson. So I would play the Philly kid, Swift.
All right, our producer on NBC Sports Philly, Booney, Cam Newton or Lamar Jackson, he's asking.
I have Jackson one. I think you have to make him one pretty much every week along with Mahomes. But Cam, I have him like number five or six. I mean, look, great numbers, and nobody can stop him on the run. But to me, Lamar Jackson is dominant.
All right, Ollie in Warrington wants to know, will Fuller, CeeDee Lamb, and DJ Moore, he needs two.
It's not Fuller. And the reason why is because he's never healthy. This Philly kid, he leaves games injured. He misses games. That Houston offense is a mess right now. Lamb is clearly over Michael Gallup in Dallas. And I think you have to play the Carolina top receiver. But to me, Will Fuller is not a play anymore.
All right, let's stay with the receivers. Nick, T.Y. Hilton against the Jets or Devontae Parker to Jags tonight?
You know, I want to say Parker, but I mean, Indianapolis' offense is doing fine. Rivers throws the ball, and what a great matchup against the Jets. So I do have Hilton ahead of Parker, but I like them both.
All right, now let's go to Twitter. Sean wants to know, A.J. Green, wait a minute, I screwed that up. Sean wants to know, Cook, Mixon, Jones, or Connor, he needs three in a one-point PPR league.
Cook, Mixon, Jones, or Connor. Cook's an excellent play every week. You never sit him. I don't think Mixon is a bad play at all against the Eagles. I'm trying to think who Jones, if it's Aaron Jones, you got to play him. And that would be Connor would be the man out there. Okay. Connor is a good play. He played well in week two, but you can't sit those other guys.
All right, A.J. Green getting a little love from the people here. Jeremy says A.J. Green or Mike Williams on the flex.
Yeah, I'd play A.J. Green there. I mean, he's been a little unlucky so far. He's getting plenty of targets. He's just not cashing them in. That's not really Burrow's fault. But Mike Williams is not a PPR guy. Doesn't get a lot of receptions.
All right, Hugh says A.J. Green, Jerry Jeudy, or Jerick McKinnon?
I don't trust McKinnon's health. He's a little bit like Fuller to me. He can get hurt anytime anybody can, but McKinnon misses a lot of games. I'd play Green there and Jeudy second.
All right. Mace wants to know, is Joshua Kelly a play this week with McCaffrey out?
I think he'd play every week. He's getting plenty of rushing attempts, even with Eckler in that same backfield. Joshua Kelly is turning into a top 20 running back right now. He's going to get touchdowns. I don't care who he's playing every week. He's ahead of Gurley, I'll put it that way.
All right, second part of this question is he a better option than Emmanuel Sanders or DeSean Jackson for a flex?
Absolutely. Sanders, you saw last week for the Saints, did nothing, and that was with Michael Thomas out. And DeSean plays, what, two-thirds of the snaps, and Wentz can't find him? Yeah, you can't play those receivers
anymore. All right, here's Will. Will's in a two-quarterback league. He's got Lamar and Mahomes. If he had to trade one for a stud running back, who do you trade?
I would actually trade Lamar, but after this week. I do think, and it's not a bad thing to keep them both, by the way, because you don't want your opponents in this league to have the second-best quarterback. So unless it's a top, like, six or seven running back, I keep them both and just everybody else, you know, tough.
All right, and finally, Josh, have we seen enough from James Robinson, the Jags, to trust him in a flex over Tyler Boyd?
Well, this week is tough because obviously Tyler Boyd won't get the Eagles' top cornerback, so he should have a monster game. But James Robinson gets more volume. I think he's a weekly flex. Yeah, and you have to play him tonight. I think James Robinson is worth playing over Boyd. Yeah, sure.
All right. There's one. We have a call. We have a caller on the screen.
No, this was from Twitter.
Oh, this is on Twitter.
Yeah.
Mike Davis or Devontae Parker?
I mean, Davis is McCaffrey's filling for Carolina. He should get plenty of volume there. I think it's good enough to play Davis this week.
All right, and one just came in under the wire here. Fantasy trade help he needs. He says Michael needs a backup wide receiver to Evans and Robinson. Should he trade Ronald Jones for Edelman?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Jones is going to be better over the long haul than Fournette, but it's probably they're both going to, you know, have the same volume. So Edelman's good. You saw last week. Cam can find him deep. I would take Edelman.
All right. Sounds good. Eric, as always, the fastest 10 minutes in sports talk radio history for fantasy football. We did it again.
Go Eagles. Go Eagles. Go Phillies.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you. There he is. Eric Carabel, brought to us again. Nat, bye.
Family and Company Jewelers. If you're thinking about getting engaged, make Family and Company Jewelers your first stop for your fantasy engagement ring. Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination.
All righty. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the caller number five. Is this the actual Drew from Westchester who got in at caller number five? Drew, is this you?
That's me, Mike.
It's the real Drew sneaking in at caller number five.
Yeah,
well, Drew, that's unbelievable that you got in there, number five. All right, well, guess what? You have won a quick $100 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. And now we'll ask you a simple football trivia question. If you get it right, you're in the grand prize drawing to win the big, the big schmagaggy of all these prizes. So are you ready to go?
I'm ready to go, Mike.
All right, here is today's question. Oh, just a layup for you. This former Eagles player was nicknamed Weapon X due to his relentless aggression on the field, much like comic book character Wolverine.
That would be Brian Dawkins.
That is correct. All right, hold on. Drew qualifies for the big prize pool.
Yeah. Ty and I decided before the show, if whoever called didn't get that, they probably shouldn't call ever again.
They'd be banned.
Yeah, they'd be banned permanently.
An enforced ban, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. All right.
Luckily, he got it.
Yeah. 610-622-0975. So there's two open lines. You can grab them right now, and we'll get back to the phones with Rich in Marsville. Rich, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rich. Hello,
good
Rich.
How are you, my friend?
Good, man. How you doing?
Doing great. Thank you very much for asking. So, Mike, I'm thinking, you know, let's just give me a moment and let's think that, you know, somehow, some way, things start falling into place a little bit. Our defense shores up a little bit, gives up some less points. Our coverage gets a little bit better. Slay gets some picks, takes them the other way. Carson starts to find his groove, spreads the ball around. Our backs are running the ball. Let's say they do a little bit better than we thought with the 0-2 start.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, is that based on what's happening right now? I don't think we can say quite yet this guy's fallen, and I don't want to just, you know, think, okay, well, this is it, the regression, and there's no way out from it. And I just want to think, you know, or want to ask you, I'm sorry, the part that really stinks to me is that the way it goes for us, the way it seems to go, is we're going to beat an AFC team.
and it's not going to help us much. Or come to a tiebreaker with the Cowboys and the Rams, where we wouldn't be able to pick up the W last week. We would have came to a tiebreaker with the Cowboys if we come to split with them.
Yeah. So what are you foreseeing here? Can they actually get it back to the point where they make this season interesting?
Well, Mike, the other thing I want to ask is, again, like, I don't want to think that it's a foregone conclusion that Carson's done. It's over. And that we're going to transition into Hurts.
Well, for this year, no, I don't know if it's going to work out that way. I'm talking for the long haul future of this franchise. I think that there will be a transition. It doesn't necessarily have to be this year. I think the reason why they drafted Hurts is because they see a that kind of a transition. Not this year, though, because if they bench him this year, they devalue him.
Right, of course, and not this season either. Now, let's say, again, we get real strong, we get real powerful, we get real healthy, we turn things around, chemistry happens, kind of like it did in 17, and we make a push, and we actually go, given everything. And we actually pull out another Super Bowl victory. I know this is just crazy, but does that change
well,
the...
Yeah, of course. If he would win a Super Bowl, they would never be able to turn away from him, but... That's not going to happen. Let me give you a scenario. Suppose you're looking up at 2-7 this year. You're the head coach. What do you do with the quarterback position?
I do not. I look at this season, say, okay, this is a scrap. This is not panicking. This is not freaking out. We had a bad season. Things just did not go our way. Injuries, whatever, we want to pin the tail on the donkey, but it's not a reboot. I do not think we need to reboot or
So you would keep a Carson out there at 2-7. You would keep him going,
provided he can turn things around and start to show.
Well, they can turn things around. 2-7, they're 2-7. They're done. So he's not going to turn anything around. That's why I'm asking you the question. At 2-7, would you welcome a transition to the other guy?
I don't see. I that's really out of the realm of possibility. I don't see 2-7. I don't see that.
Well, that's not the question. The question is if they are 2-7.
Can't answer that.
All right, man. You stuck to your guns. I like it. But if they're 2-7, it's a good question. Because the town will be clamoring for it. You know that.
Yeah, I can't. I can't make the change until the 8th loss. Because
you have to wait till the 8th loss?
Yeah, because at 2-7, I can still win out and get the 9-7. Okay. 9-7 will make the playoffs.
I see where you're going. So you still think you can win out. But if this guy has convinced you... Maybe you think you can win out with a jolt, you know, the backup goalie theory.
Yeah, this defense not good enough. No way. Defense isn't good enough. Let me ask, are they going to force a turnover between week 9?
Well, then what's the point of playing Carson?
Because then maybe I can still outscore you. I can outscore you with a rookie. I know I can. A second round rookie.
Okay.
See, that's my concern. That, like, if they don't force a turnover this year, this week, I mean, if they don't force a turnover this coming week,
yeah,
then the Eagles are doomed no matter what Carson does.
Let's just play with that 2-7 concept for a second. They win this week. Then they go lose, 1-5. Beat the Giants.
And then lose to Dallas before the bye? Is that what
lose to Dallas or beat that? All right, they lose to Dallas makes them 2-7 exactly. No, 2-6.
2-6. And then
finally was at the Giants. So they can't go 2-7. The worst thing you do is 3-6.
Yeah, 3-6. I can't keep going.
At Cleveland,
let's say they lose that. So that's 3-7. 3-7.
Seattle.
There it is. 3-8, and then what's the following?
3-8, and then lose to Seattle,
and then the next game is what? At Green Bay.
At Green Bay.
Well, you can't start the kid at Green Bay for the first time.
You start him at home against New Orleans.
Yeah.
So they would have to be most likely 3-9.
Yeah.
The way the schedule looks.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, what's the difference?
Right. Have him play out, get his feet wet. And then if he's terrible, you're looking at a high draft pick. You might have to draft another quarterback. That's the thing that they don't. That's why he's not a slam dunk.
Yeah.
Like, I hope he's good because I'm an Eagles fan, but it's not a slam dunk. You bring him in. If he looks lost and terrible, you might have to trade up. Or get to Ohio, you might have to get Fields.
Right, let's take this a little further, and this is like 4 beers in.
Okay.
This conversation at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
You are bad enough where you can actually see yourself getting the number 1 pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Do you trade that pick or do you take Trevor Lawrence?
Oh, in that scenario, you take Trevor Lawrence.
You would take Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, because if it's at that point, because see, I'm believing currently sitting at 0-2 that Carson Wentz will be better and the defense will be better.
So then this Carson thing is gone. This Hurts thing is gone.
Yeah.
You're completely going another route. You're shifting another gear totally.
Yeah. That's why drafting him was stupid. Another reason why it was stupid. If Wentz fails, I can't just blindly assume that Hurts is the answer because he has not demonstrated that in a pro-style situation. He hasn't. He's not a slam dunk.
I think he's really interesting on where they can be.
But I actually still believe that Carson's going to turn it around, and I think the defense at some point will force a turnover. But if they don't this week, then they may never. And that's a concern. If you can't turn people over in this, it won't matter. I'm telling you. The quarterback can be better. You're not going to win if your defense can't force any turnovers, and they're 0-2 so far. And they're getting away with it because the quarterback stinks.
Listen, if they're 3-9, they could very easily get into a position where they get that draft pick because then they have New Orleans at Arizona at Dallas.
3-13 won't get you the first pick.
Okay. You sure?
100% sure.
I don't want to do this anymore.
That's going to Bill Deptford. Bill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bill.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's going on, Bill?
Great show. Also, Tyrone, I love the show on Saturday. I just want to talk about the Eagles. I'm somebody who doesn't think that Carson can't turn it around this year, but I think their biggest problem is their defense. If you watch the last 3 years when we made it to the playoffs, their defensive scheme has been getting pressure on the quarterback, stopping the run, and they needed to do that because we didn't have a great secondary. But this year, I just think that, I mean, Fletcher Cox last year had the second most pressures in the NFL behind Aaron Donald, and it just seems like they can't get in the backfield. And it doesn't help that our linebackers can't cover the short routes and the short intermediate routes, but I think the defense is going to be the main problem this year.
Well, you might be right. I mean, you described the defensive line very well. Fletcher Cox, guys get older, right? Now, he's still good. Maybe he's not a terror anymore, and he gets banged up now. The end, Barnett gets banged up. Sweat, okay, he's all right. Brandon Graham is getting a little older. You're right. They might not be able to carry the mail defensively.
Yeah, I just want to talk about two plays that drove me crazy last week. The one was the Robert Woods touchdown. Josh Sweat, the whole entire line crashed, and nobody picked up Robert Woods. And the other play was the Jalen Mills play when he broke into the backfield and hit the running back, and the running back basically ran over him and still made 3 or 4 yards after contact.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask you guys if you think that the departure of Malcolm Jenkins and Bradham, even though he's older and maybe washed up,
it's hurt.
Is a big...
Yeah, it's hurt. More Jenkins than Bradham because that kind of a play, we don't know that Jalen Mills can make that he used to make. So, you look at the defense, and you're not that secure with it right now. And I don't know what's going to change. You know, guys are what they are at this point. We'll take a break. On the other side, all right, what happened to Tyrod Taylor in Los Angeles, which made Justin Herbert be the starter, was that the team doctor, in trying to inject painkiller into his rib area, punctured a lung. And we're going to talk to sports lawyer Andrew Brandt after this, to see what the liability is on this kind of an injury and whether it's precluded by any kind of a CBA agreement, whether we have to go to arbitration, or we can straight out sue everybody. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, it's 4:30. It's time to get an update on our Twitter poll with Natalie Agonoff. Nat, the Twitter poll brought to us, of course, by Paul B. Moyer and Son. What are the numbers?
All right, Mike, over 600 votes on this one today. Are you fatigued with the current Philadelphia sports landscape? 79% say yes, a lot of negativity. 21% say no, ready for a comeback.
All righty, thank you very much. All right, something really strange happened before the L.A. Chargers game, and the starting quarterback Tyrod Taylor could not play. Why? He received an injection. It didn't go well. And we find out that the injection actually punctured a lung. So a lot of people have asked me via email and Twitter, what's the legal liability on this, and who can he sue? And I don't know. He's a player. It's collective bargaining. So to straighten all this out, we got to call on our ace, the man who runs the Sports Law Center at Villanova University and former general manager in the league. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline with us, Beyond Fast. His name is Andrew Brand. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Michael. I bet it's a busy, popular week for you with the venting about the Eagles.
Yeah, yes, it is. A certain quarterback has people on edge these days.
Yeah, imagine Andrew. That around here. Yeah.
Yes. So let's discuss this. This is a very strange issue. Now, normally, you know, this happens in real life. It's an easy sue. You know exactly who the suee would be. Now, in the case of Tyrod Taylor, what are the damages here and who can he sue?
Yeah, here's the deal. I'm getting the calls like you are about what's the deal here. I think this is an independent contractor. At least in my experience, team doctors are not employees. And there are a lot of reasons for that. And this is one of the reasons. If something screws up, it's not the team. It's the doc. Now, there is a relationship, obviously, between the team and the doctor. But it is just like a vendor. It's an independent contractor relationship, and that is for liability purposes. Now, the doctor is going to have his own medical malpractice and going to cover it insurance-wise there. That's the relationship issue, and that was what we had at the Packers, the Eagles. I'm sure that that's the situation with the Chargers. Then we get to the liability issue. I'm hearing from doctors saying this is not all that rare to actually have a tiny puncture when you do this procedure. It's not common, but it's not like one in a million. And there is usually no lingering damage. But the question we're all really trying to work around here is, what are the damages to Tyrod Taylor? First, you look at physical. You know, is he out more because of this? Does he have long-term damage? Is there any respiratory issue? Is there something that's going to last more than this week, not playing? Or I guess he's not going to play next week. So we're talking about a couple weeks at least. And then I'm just rambling here because the full extent of this really always comes back to the contract. He's got a guaranteed deal this year. He's not going anywhere this year. But is this going to affect his long-term earnings? It's going to affect next year where he's under contract, but there's no guarantee. And, of course, they're promoting the young quarterback, and he's probably going to be there for 10 years, and Tyrod Taylor's going to be nowhere to be found near the field. And could a lawyer like you or I argue that Tyrod Taylor's future earning power has been diminished by this because he didn't get to continue playing before they eventually would have given the job to Justin Herbert, but not so soon? These are all the questions.
This is really interesting. And you've just pointed out the damages are hard to prove here. A, because it may be a little more common than we think. And his future earnings probably aren't going to be impacted by this, although he does lose his starting job, which could impact his future earnings down the road. Now, with the team doctor and how it doesn't, and obviously if you connect it to the team, they have the deep pockets, and that's the team that you would go after them, right? So,
right.
If And a lot of these doctors do not take a salary from the team. Their benefit is the association of being the team doctor. So yeah. My question to you is, if he does get a salary from the team, can you actually prove an employee situation that would make the team liable?
Yeah, if you remember in law school, and I know it's going to bore everyone out there, but there was a theory called respondeat superior.
Uh-huh. Where,
yes, the team sort of imbued with responsibility when one of its, not necessarily employees, but someone acting on its behalf does something bad. So there is that theory, and everyone's tweeting me, there will be lawyers.
Yeah.
And we'll just have to see, because what are the damages?
Yeah.
Now, Tyrod Taylor for football is an old guy. He's in his, well, I guess for a quarterback, not too old, 32, I don't know. But how much career earning power does he have after this? And are you going to get a general manager of pick a team next year saying, we didn't want Tyrod Taylor because of that punctured lung in September? No. They're going to say we like our quarterbacks. Just the same thing they would say about any.
Yeah, I get it. But here's the counter argument. And I love to have these legal arguments. If the counter argument is he could have played in that game. He could have won that game. He could have performed well, and that would have been a stepping stone to a great year, which would completely enhance his earning power. And were it not for that punctured lung, the doctor actually destroyed his career that way, and there are the damages.
Yeah, and then I would argue every quarterback picked in the top whatever in the past 10 years, you know, whether it's Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen, where he was picked, Herbert, they've all played, like, in the first month.
Yeah.
So no matter how, and Tyrod Taylor was the guy with Baker Mayfield. So it's like, no matter how, Tyrod Taylor, the poor guy's been a placeholder, like Sam Bradford's career.
Yeah.
He's kind of a placeholder. But I mean, I'm like everyone. I feel for the guy. The guy is ready to take a pain-killing injection to numb himself up. With whatever cane it is, lidocaine, I don't know what cane.
Uh-huh.
And the poor guy gets a punctured lung. Now, I'm like you. I'm not a doctor. I'm thinking punctured lung. The guy can't breathe. He's on a respirator in the hospital. But it's evidently, it's not too terrible. But we'll find out.
So there might not even be any malpractice individual, independent contractor doctor damages here. Because there are no damages. He wasn't harmed, really.
We're going to have to see that. I mean, this is where other doctors would get on the stand and say, that's negligent. You know, that's the word here. Is it going to be below the standard of care?
Right.
And quickly, like you said, Mike, these guys, one of my best friends in Green Bay was our doc, and we'd be coming back at 3 in the morning, and have to do rounds at 7. I'm like, dude, you don't have to be here. You know, like, you're doing this because it's helping your practice.
Right.
I got to be here.
Yeah.
You don't have to be here. So you're right. All these team docs are seeing it for a lot more reasons than money.
All right. This is great insight, Andrew. We appreciate it. And so when just on a football note here, when you see this Eagle situation and you see this quarterback situation, and I don't know, in your association with these teams, like this tenuous quarterback hold that this guy has on it now, with a guy looming over his shoulder, how as a GM do you deal with this?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably no other player in the league. I mean, that's a big statement where a team's invested so much in Wentz. I mean, you're talking about a massive mortgage in draft picks and then the contract. So when people start saying, well, what's he got left? Only a year, year or two guaranteed. I'm like, dude, they haven't mortgaged the future. This is the team. This is the team. And like, forget all these other Fletcher Cox. This is the team. So you can't move on from this guy unless you totally just decide everything we've done for 5 years is wrong. Because we talked about it with Foles. You were cheating on Wentz with having Foles around. You had to get rid of him. And now with this second round pick, I'm like, the worst thing that could happen is this guy comes in and plays well. And I'm saying this from a front office point of view. That is the worst thing that can happen.
Yeah, and you're also from a front office point of view, you also have to have an ear out to what the fan base is saying, right? You just can't ignore that. And we're talking about a scenario where suppose they are 2-8. Now there's that pressure to, yeah, like, you can you keep sending Carson Wentz out there in that kind of pressure?
No, if he plays like this, you know, through 10 games, no. But I can't explain it. He's got great coaching. I mean, I've been around Doug forever. That Doug was that backup quarterback that was a coach on the field forever. He's got the physical tools. He's got the highest ethic, highest work, highest character. I can't explain it, what's going on right now. But, I mean, you must have some callers that say, let's give him more time.
Right? Yeah, there are. Nobody right now is calling for Hurts. But we're just extrapolating the schedule. And, you know, this is a very easy 1-5 after 6.
Yeah, I just hear everyone say if they lose to Cincinnati, you know, the sky's going to fall, which doesn't say much about Cincinnati.
Yeah, no, I think they'll win this game, but then you're looking at down the barrel at San Fran, at Pitt, and then the Ravens at home, and yeah, that could lead to really ugly 2-8, you know, ish.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of Howie. He's mortgaged the future for this kid. He has seen success. He has seen this guy play extraordinarily well. They got rid of the backup. They gave him the money. They did everything you'd want to do for someone. Everything. Like, more than all these other teams have done. And it's not working right now. Now, is this going to be a lingering issue? That's what you're suggesting is...
Yeah.
You know, these were two really good defenses. I know Washington's not a good team, but these are two good defenses he played.
Well, this is the season drama. That's why we love it. Andrew, listen, man, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate the info.
Always a pleasure, guys. Take care.
Andrew Brandt on the Comcast Business Hotline. And you see, as a former general manager, like he made a statement. He said, well, that's why he had to get rid of Nick Foles, right? Well, I challenge him, and we didn't have time to get into it, but I challenge him that they didn't do everything they could for him because drafting that guy creates the same problem that he said, well, that's why you gotta get rid of Foles, right?
Right. And it was one less player to, because one thing they haven't done that other teams have done around their quarterbacks is draft really well.
Yeah.
Look what the Cowboys did with Dak. Now, Dak's playing better than Wentz right now, but look at his receivers that they either traded or drafted.
Yeah.
And look at the Eagles receivers that they've traded for or drafted. And then tell me you would rather have, there's nobody in this city that could say they'd rather have the Eagles wide receivers than Dallas's wide receivers. You just wouldn't. And that's another way you help your quarterback, because some of those off-target throws are catches when the receivers are really good. They're not catches here.
Yes, sir. All right, let's take a quick 3-minute break. We'll be back in a jiffy. Tom from the Northeast will be next up on the Mike Mussinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 447 on the Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. You know, we didn't acknowledge the funeral yesterday. Was it today for Ruth Bader Ginsburg? Was that today?
No, I think it was yesterday. Tuesday, wasn't it?
No, she's been lying in state.
In state.
Oh, but okay.
Today, it's, I think, still happening kind of today.
Yeah. Because the president went to the ceremony.
Yes. And he got booed. At the ceremony. Now, here's my political rhetoric for the day. If I'm put in charge, I sponsor an amendment to the Constitution where all Supreme Court judges have to be independent. They can't belong to a political party. Now, tell me that's not a brilliant idea. In other words, we will have now spawned a generation of independent lawyer, legal mind judges who will then be eligible to be appointed to the Supreme Court.
How's that not a First Amendment issue? Because your political party's part of your free speech.
Well, this is for the Supreme Court.
Right.
Make an amendment.
Saying,
any Supreme Court justice would have to be not a member of a party. That's right. Why I'm amending the Constitution.
No, I get you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying how can you enforce it? Because the same thing says, like, former politicians most likely should not be allowed to be lobbyists. The problem is that people claim that that's unconstitutional because you should be able to get whatever job. If you presented that, right, and I'm with you, it would make the world a better place. There's no doubt.
It doesn't make sense otherwise.
The counter would be, though, you're that's free speech, and now you're saying that a person who is a Supreme Court justice would not be allowed to have free speech 20 years, let's say, before they became a justice.
Yeah, it's not really free speech. Free speech, they still maintain their free speech. They just can't be a member of a political party. You can think whatever you want. That's the freest speech ever.
Could they have backed a party? Could they back a candidate in their 20s?
No. Everybody, since they're eligible to vote, would have to be an independent and not belong to a Democrat or a Republican party.
They'd have to register as an independent.
Yes.
I'm not mad at that.
And hence, go through their entire legal career as an independent, because the only way you can judge a case is to be totally independent-minded.
Right.
And especially if it becomes the Supreme Court. What kind of a Supreme Court is got to be stacked with one party that will decide one way or the other? You got to have independent thinkers. You can't, if you vote for something conservative, there's more merit to that. If you vote for something more liberal, there's more merit to that, because you're an actual independent with no party attachments.
And you're looking at it just right down
exactly.
the
exactly. It's the
I
only
love it.
Way you can have a Supreme Court. I don't understand the Supreme Court.
I wish everything was like that.
I don't understand,
right down the middle.
understand the Supreme Court, where a Democratic president has to appoint a Democratic judge, or a Republican president has to nominate a Republican. I don't understand it. There's something not right about it. It's the highest court in the land. There should be all independent brains on that court.
It makes sense, but isn't the thought that, it's determined by the people who elected the president at the time, so it just, and since they have...
They elected the president,
oh, no.
You don't elect the court.
No, I know,
the court's
got
to deliberate over stuff.
Right, but since they have a lifetime appointment, I guess the thinking is that it just has like a natural progression of whatever's in the benefit of the country at the time?
No.
Does that make sense?
No.
No, I'm saying I agree with you. I wish it was that way.
It shouldn't benefit the president at the time. It should be an independent
But I'm saying because the people are technically dictating the president in a way.
You can still dictate the president.
Yeah.
Just the Supreme Court is different.
Right. I feel like...
If you're deliberating case and you are deciding the case because of your political party rules, then you're actually not deciding the case properly.
Right. Yeah.
You're not doing it on the evidence.
But I'm just saying, isn't that why it's constructed this way currently?
I don't know why it's constructed this way currently. I've never understood it ever.
Right.
And I'm spawning an entire generation of independent lawyers.
I love it. I'm here for it.
Thank you. Let's go to Tom in the Northeast. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Mike, it's a pipe dream. That'll never happen.
Well, that's if I'm in charge, it will happen. You see, all you got to do is make me in charge, and I'll make this a better world.
All right. Also, by the way, a very tiny amount of cases get to the Supreme Court. Far more dangerous is the...
Doesn't matter how many cases get to the Supreme Court. It doesn't matter.
I'm talking about the president appoints all the federal district.
Yeah, I know. I get that. I can't correct anything. I just have to go with the highest court in the land and have a constitutional amendment on that. I allow me that.
You need 3/4 of the states of the legislature.
Tom, why are you putting facts in this? This is an ideology.
Well, and by the way, here's another fact on the injection issue. Res ipsa loquitur, it speaks for itself. There's negligence, no doubt about it, and there is damage. So I take the case in a minute.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, on the Eagles and Phils. With the Eagles, I am confident that the offense will turn around, but I am not confident about the defense that has given up 64 points in the last 6 quarters, including 27 points in 2 quarters to the stinking Washington Football Club, who has no offense whatsoever. And I don't care if they had short fields or not. It really is disturbing how easily these teams have scored.
Yeah.
The Rams are actually a good team, so that doesn't bother me nearly as much. With the Phillies, my point is this. Can you imagine this town if the Giants, with no players whatsoever, get into the playoffs with Gabe Kapler managing and the Phillies don't make it at all?
Yeah, we'll get over that. Because the Giants aren't going to win anything anyway. So, what's the difference? You know, like if he took them to a World Series title, yeah, they would hurt a little more. But they're just going to sneak in like with a shoehorn anyway. If they get in.
The same would be for both teams, actually. They're both sneaking.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So it's not going to hurt that much if Kapler gets in. Because, you know, that's like, well, is that going to disappoint us that much? We're already buried in disappointment with the Phillies and we're not going to think about Kapler. Because he's going to be out in the first round anyway.
Well, it'll make a...
I will say, that team isn't very good. So he must have done a good job with them.
Well, remember, he had them throwing at Mike Trout and doing a lot of dirty stuff.
Yeah.
Over 60 games, though, we've seen over 60 games, he can manage. He can't manage over 162.
Okay.
They were in first place after 60 games.
Yeah, I don't understand it, too. Because if you look at them on paper, there's nothing special about the Giants.
Look at the Phillies the last 2 years on paper. But he still had them in first place after 60. It's the long haul. There is no long haul this year.
All right. The 5 o'clock hour is ahead.
We'll hear from AI in the 5 o'clock hour as well.
We have AI in the 5 o'clock hour?
We will hear from AI.
All right, give me the backstory.
He's on the, got picked up. It's the podcast with Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes.
Oh, okay.
AI is the guest. It's on Showtime now, apparently, because they're looking for programming.
Uh-huh.
I think it's called All the Smoke.
Yeah.
And AI just lays out a person he has some issues with without naming them. And I just wonder if the people in the city might want to guess. Because I can tell you, any person, AI is the opposite of a hater. Any person AI hates, I hate double.
All right.
Because he has no hater in him. He's not a hater at all.
I just worry about giving these particular people publicity that they don't deserve.
Well, he doesn't say to people.
Okay.
Yeah, if he said to people, I wouldn't.
All right. 5 o'clock hours ahead. Mike Missinelli show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, 5 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli's show. One line's open, 610-620-975. 5 o'clock hour, brought to us by Guida Door and Window. Receive 20% off all windows and doors, no money down. 3 years to pay it off, interest free. Call Guida Door and Window today, 1-877-GO-GUIDA, or visit GOGUIDA.com. All right, Philly's off tonight. You get a day off, and then here it comes. 3 last games of the season, the regular season. By Monday, will we be talking playoffs?
Well,
Iron, what's your hunch?
My hunch is we will, for this reason. I've always believed that sports gods exist. That's separate from the real God. Like, I don't think the real God, whatever God you may believe in, cares who wins and loses sports games.
Yep.
I don't believe that.
Yep.
But the sports gods do. That's why you can't get too cocky and things like that. Respect your opponent. The sports gods frown on certain things. The Marlins derailed the Phillies season. The Marlins have no right making the playoffs because of what they did going to that gentleman's club down in Atlanta. And that's why the Phillies had to play those doubleheaders, which led to the bullpen games, which led to some of those losses. The Phillies don't get all of those losses if the Marlins don't derail their season. I believe that the sports gods are looking down right now and saying, okay.
You believe in the sports gods.
I do.
You believe that they're looking at this situation and they're going to come up with a righteous decision on this.
Yep.
And thereby get the Phillies in. So were the sports gods having the same effect on us with the Sixers? When are the sports gods store up all the tanking and put it against the Sixers, so it wasn't Brett Brown's fault. This was an act of sport God.
I believe that. I think that the blatantness in which they went about the process, not doing it, the way they did it, the way Hinkie hid in the basement and didn't even speak to people.
Yeah.
No. You angered the sports guys, and now the Embiid injuries. Even down to Zaire Smith and Markel Fultz. That's all the sports gods. Hopefully it's clean now.
What's the sports gods' view on Carson Wentz?
I think the sports guys are going to take care of Carson in the long run.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I so still do I.
He has stunk so far. I do not let the I don't think the sports gods, and you want to know why? I think the sports gods appreciate him rising above it. With Alshon the Snitch, and I think that he will be rewarded in the long run. That doesn't mean
he's
not going to have bumpy
roads.
The
sports god is playing a trick, because for him to get the resurgence, Alshon's going to have to be part of it.
Yep.
So how do you untwist that little sport god dilemma?
Sometimes, I think that's a lesson we all have to learn sometimes, that there are never permanent enemies or permanent allies. It's temporary. And I think also Carson might have had it a bit too sweet his whole life.
Okay.
And I think that this might be the sports god's way of toughening Carson up that last bit to make him a well-rounded leader. Because Foles went through a lot before he lucked into the Super Bowl.
Sports god's been very busy in Philly.
Well, we do a lot of things.
And we do a lot of talking to them.
We do a lot of inventory of sports gods.
Yeah, and we do a little too much of talking to the sports gods rather than being good.
Okay.
We may make mistakes. But I think the Marlins lose tonight. They go 1-2 over the weekend. Mm. The Phillies go 3-0, get the sweep somehow, and get in.
Interesting. And on that note, in case you didn't hear earlier, the percentages of making the playoffs, the Phillies are not in good shape. They have the lowest percentage to make the playoffs of any team that's left in it. However, caveat here is that they can get the second spot, like Tyrone just said, and they can beat out the Marlins for that position. Otherwise, we're looking at the wild card percentages to get in. The Reds have the highest percentage at 86%. They have three games left with the Minnesota Twins, who have already clinched first place. The Cardinals are next at 72%, and they have five games left with the Brewers. Hence, the Brewers are only 51% to make the playoffs. The Giants, 66.3% to make the playoffs. They had the Rockies today, and they have four with the Padres to close out the season. The Padres have already clinched. And then you have your Phillies at 49.4% with three games left against the Rays. All right, that's where we stand. Let's go to Jerome at Elkins Park. What's up, Jerome?
Hello, people. How you doing?
What's up, Jerome?
That's a good question. Looks like, they answer that. The Miami Heat. They're up 3-1.
Oh, we didn't mention that today.
No, Ty,
I don't think Ty wanted to hear about that today.
I'm quite sure. Ty's got him.
Jimmy had to, 2-4 last night?
Yeah.
Jimmy checked in with 2-4. And my man, the man bobber, Tyler Hero.
But, you know, the thing about that is, Mike, I mean, I seen him a prior game. And then this game, I'm not going to front and say I saw the whole game, but I saw the highlights. I seen a guy that not was just a stand-up shooter, but was someone who could dribble the ball.
He transported the ball, made some medium-range shots last night.
Yeah, well,
yes,
and then,
he did.
He moved.
I
got to
be honest with you. Jerome, I never in a million years thought that kid would develop the way he's developed.
Well, it just goes to show, when you have an eye for picking talent, and, you know, you're in an organization where, you know, you put demands, well, you know, you make expectations. That's a better way. You know, unlike here. My expectation, and it's not going to be great, is the fact that, you know, they get Tyronn Lue and not, you know, Mr. Shoot 'em up for whatever, bang, bang.
You don't like D'Antoni?
No.
Okay.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't fit the style.
Okay.
You know, he's look, we're to me, and I know everybody said I've talked to this person, I've talked to that person, but, you know, and I haven't talked to everybody, but the people I've talked to, I kind of give him a little bit as far as basketball, as far as the knowledge, because it's not splitting the atom. And the thing is, it's like, look, we're at this point now where we aren't that enamored about the Stars. And when I say, and I mean this sincerely, that if they don't do at least a modicum of getting at least a good head coach or a proper head coach, I'm out.
Well, you won't be out. But like, what is your debt? Like, so if you say they hired D'Antoni, you're out, you're saying.
I thought about it as waiting for the phone call. I'll say I would look with one eye. I mean, that's
okay,
good eye.
With one eye.
I'll give it the one eye.
Okay, but you look at both eyes if it was Lou. You like Lou.
Ahead, Tyron. I'm looking at the one eye.
Lou.
And I don't care how many. Look, a guy.
Lou is your guy.
Well, Chicago, I'll move to them because I felt Donovan was the type of person.
Yeah.
Young.
You won't see him around no more, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so, I mean, that's what happened.
You won't see him no more.
He was supposed to have a talk.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and obviously, I'm giving him the benefit of doubt. Never spoke to the man. I really got, but that he looked at this situation, made some questions, and said, you know what? I'll go to a team.
You know, you could be right. You could be right. Now, he's got nothing to lose in Chicago. He's got a lot to lose here because the mandate is you got to turn this team around with these two stars. Maybe Donovan said, you know what? I'll get a little more leeway in Chicago. And I get a little more time to build in Chicago. I'm going to have that pressure to win right away.
Yeah, he just has to make the playoffs with the Bulls. That's
right,
it.
Exactly.
He gets the 7 or 8 seed, they're happy because they've missed the playoffs
so
many years.
He's in a good city. So, probably worked for him. Now, here's the thing that I'm looking for. I am looking for transformation. This team, this Sixer team, is in a stagnant state. I'm looking for transformation. Now, whether that's Lou with these two guys, playing more of a conventional way, get more out of them, or whether it's D'Antoni who will try something unique to get the best out of him, that's what I'm looking for. And I frankly don't care who it is. I'm looking for new ideas to transform what these two dudes are to this team. That's what I'm looking for. So therefore, I don't care who it is.
This is odd to me, how many fans. I understand why people are invested in the coach. I'm not talking about the previous caller, who's a good caller. There's people even in the media who don't know a damn thing about what the coach actually does, who have decided if we don't get this coach or this coach is bad, I'm glad that
I'm out.
Like that. But they're like in the media and stuff like that. Like I'm glad you're approaching it to me in the proper way. We don't know for sure what D'Antoni or Lou or any or a wild card or Jaeger or any coach would possibly do. We don't know.
But it's simple. Because when you're interviewing a guy, I go, listen, I got these two guys here that are my transcendent stars.
The owner doesn't want to trade them yet.
Right. We haven't been able to formulate a plan to maximize this team with these two guys here. You tell me how you're going to do it. And I just sit there and I go, all right, that guy sounds better than that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have a tangible result. I got to trust him. But that plan sounds pretty good because it's different than what we've been slogging over the last 4 years.
Right. And to me, I think every fan should approach it the same way as you're just saying. That's the same way I'm approaching it. We don't know what a coach does. And we don't know. Every so often, people's personalities just click. There may be a coach out there that clicks with Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons or both in a way that Brett Brown was unable to click with, where he might not even have to go to the whip. He might be able to talk to them and they say, you know what? Brett Brown was a C, let's say, in intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, he's an A.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to this guy. That happens sometimes.
Yeah, if D'Antoni comes in and goes, listen, you only want to play with the center, but here's my plan, and I got to have your backing with it. I got to have him, Embiid, be spryer. I got to have him with the ability to hedge, pick and roll, do some things that way so we can have maybe turn him into a semi-Jokic. Semi. I know I can't do that all together, but I need him to drop 25 and be spryer for my plan. I need him to be a little more like Theo Ratliff.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I don't know if I'm going to get that, but that's what I want. My only hope for these two come play together in this NBA, I got to have this dude done, and I need your backing for it. And if you don't like that plan, all right, you don't hire me then. I play with both of them. I work with them, but we got to do it this way.
Well, that part's the easy part.
Yeah.
The easier is the other one that you
call. Yeah, I understand.
The other one's the harder one.
I get that. But here's what I say. About the other guy, 25. Listen, I'm going to take a lot of heat, which means you're going to take a lot of heat, because the only way I can force him to take the jump shot is to take away playing time. And we may lose because of that. But I need you to be okay with that, Mr. Owner. And if not, I don't take the job. I got enough money. You know, I'm Stantoni, whatever, Lou, whoever does it. Some assistant that they had targeted. All right, let's go Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, guys. I wanted to talk about the Phillies, but as far as that punctured lung go, when I was in training, I watched a lot of orthopods do those kinds of injections, and they use the tiniest needle that you can imagine, and they pull back on the syringe barrel so they don't end up putting an injection into an artery or a vein.
Yeah.
So I'm sure as he was advancing it, he would.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, the damages are hard to... So, like, to sue, you got to have damages to sue for, right? Now, according to Andrew Brandt, this is done... Like, doctors make that common mistake. Well, that reduces the damages, you know?
Right.
And so, it might not even be a malpractice situation.
No, no.
It might not be a negligence, you know, per se.
No. If he was a star, I would say he wouldn't be out more than 2 weeks at the most. I mean, they put the thing in, and when they got air back, the guy said, oops, we're done here.
Yeah.
And,
it shouldn't happen, but like if it's, you know, happens a lot, I don't know. I didn't know it happened a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't happen that much, but you know, it happens.
Mm.
As far as the Phillies go, you know, I was really impressed last night, with, you know, Eflin's performance. He's had two in a row that he looked good.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't against world beaters, but, you know, he looked like he figured out how to pitch. And, you know, the position players haven't mailed it in yet. I would think the tendency with that bullpen being so terrible would be to be so demoralized that they just would go through the motions, you know. And I thought they looked good as far as offense.
Yeah, well, you got to understand that hitters want to hit. They're not worried about whether the bullpen's going to blow it. They're in survival mode when they're in that box. They're not going to let down.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, hopefully they'll pull it out. You know, I'd love to see it.
All right, man. We shall see what happens. Jetpacks, what did he do? He had a bad game offensively yesterday, right? Jetpacks? He was an 0-for, wasn't he?
I think so.
What is he? He's still at 150?
Let's see where he's at. He is, he's at 146. He was 0-for-5 with 3 strikeouts.
Yeah, that's...
In a game where
everybody was raking.
Yeah, like, everybody.
At the end, everybody was raking.
I'm trying to think if everybody else at least got on base, because Hazley only had one at bat, but he walked. Obviously, McCutcheon. Moniak went 1-for-1. Like, everybody.
Moniak had a hit last night?
Yeah.
Late in the game?
Yeah. Because they took McCutcheon out. McCutcheon was 3-for-5.
Did Moniak get that hit off of Brock Holt? Because he pissed. He used a position player last night.
I don't remember. Because once they were up, I was switching back to the basketball game at that point because it was.
Yeah, Brock Holt pitched last night.
It is here. Harper, obviously. You know that. That was a crazy stat with the two intentional, the two home runs and the 3 intentional walks. You know that never happened with Barry Bonds?
Yeah.
That was weird. You would think that would have happened 20 times with Barry Bonds. But I'm looking at it. Everyone else was on base except for him and Roman Quinn, and Quinn only had one at bat.
Okay. All right, let's go to Harrisburg. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, John?
Hey, how? Hey, just real quick. I wanted to talk about the Eagles real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you called for the God. So, you know, it's God, Jesus, and John. I'm third in line. So your sports God is here.
Okay.
I would love for them to run the offense. If you remember the Patriots a couple years ago when they had Gronk and Aaron Hernandez in that formation. And if you can run that with Jeffries on the outside and Jackson, and then when Reger gets back, you can put Reger out there, and with that speed, you can go over the top. You would play man. You would have the tight end set where they'll be single covered, and then you have Miles Sanders coming out of the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
And then and then you eat up a lot of that clock, and then you would save your defense, you know, being on the field as much. I would just love to see that offensive philosophy. I think that Doug Peterson philosophy is getting run down.
I think it's getting predictable. And I just leave it, and that's all updates.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think they need to do some different things. Now, we talked to Sal Pal this week, and he says everybody's been telling Doug Peterson to move the quarterback out of the pocket, do some different things. So it'll be interesting to see what they do offensively on Sunday.
Yeah, it would be nice. I just think that Carson, you know, it's like they're putting so much pressure on him. I think when they had Nick Foles, you know, Nick did great for us. But then Nick left, and then the pressure's on him. But then they bring in Hurts off the draft, and then it's like more pressure. You know, these quarterbacks are really sensitive, and they have to have a clear head. And if you just run a simple offense, you say, Carson, it's on you, you know, be real with them.
And well, they pretty much have run a simple offense. They've just dropped them back in seven-step drops and had them throw down the field. I'm thinking they need to get more complex. They need to get a little more motion-centric. They need to move them out of the pocket. They need to try some screens, you know, stuff like that to keep the defense off stride. They haven't done any of that in the first two games.
Yeah, and I think that it'll open up the offense just much more. So I don't want to take up too much of your time. It's a pleasure talking to you.
All right,
Judge.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, and take it easy. All right,
buddy, you got it. Yeah, I'm looking at yesterday's game. Moniak's single came off of Brock Holt.
Oh, it did.
Yeah. Jetpacks can get the hit. Jetpacks grounded the ball to the shortstop and botched it. So off of Holt. And Moniak singled, and Bohm grounded to a fielder's choice against Brock Holt.
Well, good.
So Moniak was the only one to touch him.
Kind of impressed with we've seen once again my guy the Mick.
The Mick had a single last night against Brock Holt.
Yeah, everybody got a free shot at Club Tyrone.
There you go.
Every base hit for Hazley or Moniak is a free shot at Club Tyrone.
610-632-0975. All right, we got a couple open lines. So we got sound off coming your way, but we have room for about three calls. So if you want to slide in now, you can. 610-622-0975 on the Mike Missinelli Show. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
But the Cuz hopping on the Phillies. I mean, Cuz doing it. It'll be Cuz Radio tonight. The Cuz's Corner at Parks. Back on the Phils. He was way down.
Yeah, welcome back, Cuz.
What's he going to do? Is he going to put a few shekels on him at Parks tonight, maybe?
Maybe.
For tomorrow night? Yeah, why not?
Text me, Cuz. What are you doing? All right. Anyway, that's our final Twitter poll numbers brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Need a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment? Paul B. Moyer and Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with Safe Contactless Pickup in Doylestown. Natalie, final numbers.
Thanks, Mike. Over 700 votes on today's poll. Are you fatigued with the current Philadelphia sports landscape? 79% say yes, a lot of negativity. 21% say no, ready for a comeback.
Yeah, I'm fatigued, but they can pick me up. Like, this weekend, I need a sweep and a chance. Like, I need a Sunday that means something. Like, both ways. You know?
Yeah.
Eagles bringing back a little energy because they win rather easily, and the Phillies just do what they can.
I want an Eagles victory. They start at 3 o'clock on Sunday, as of now. Maybe they'll change times if the game means something. Who knows? I want the Eagles to be up by so much, I feel comfortable switching to the Phillies at 3 o'clock.
But here's the peril, because I think this is going to happen. Win, win, loss.
See, if you get me to the final day, then...
Then what?
It's on, at that point, if it's to the final day, it's on the manager, it's on Harper, it's on Real Mutual.
Well, baseball's baseball, though.
I get it. But if on the last day...
All about the guy you're facing.
I get it. But at that point, the Yankees will definitely be trying to set up their playoff rotation. You got to weather the storm and find a way. And the man who got paid, the man that wants to get paid, and the manager, if it gets to Sunday in your scenario, it's on those three guys to finish it out. Now, if the pitchers give up 25 runs, that's different. But I'm saying you can't lose 4-3. You can't.
If the Marlins lose, Phillies win, lose.
Then it comes down to the Marlins.
Tie break, doesn't it?
Well, it depends on what happens tonight.
All right.
The Braves need to win tonight. That helps a whole lot. The percentages will change overnight if the Braves beat the Marlins tonight.
I just see it coming down to a Sunday where they need to win and they don't pull it off.
Well, wouldn't it be Nola Sunday?
Yeah, I guess.
And he has to pitch short rest or not. Nola has to. If it's Nola, then obviously he's added to that. Those four guys got to get it done for one game. Those are guys you're banking on.
Yeah.
I think Nola would pitch Sunday.
I'm going to figure it out right now.
On short rest, even?
Let's see.
Wait, he pitched Tuesday.
They have schedule here. Velasquez Friday. Yes. Wheeler Saturday. Nola Sunday.
Yeah, no excuses. If it happens in your, then go win 1-0. I don't give a damn how you get it. If you get to Sunday and your ace is on the mound, go be an ace. Go win.
Yeah, a little problem with Friday's game because I don't know how long he's going to last.
Big problem on Friday. But at least you're coming off an off day so you can go heavy.
Depend on your bullpen to win that game tomorrow night.
But at least you know everybody's coming off, everybody's semi-fresh because everybody had a day off. Everyone's available Friday. And if those both guys got to go 8+, Wheeler and Nola, that's why you paid them, right?
Yeah, I'm worried about Friday. All right, so Allen Iverson was on a podcast. What is it called? What is it? It's a TV show?
It's on Showtime now.
It's on Showtime.
But it's from the podcast, and then they're looking for programming, so they put it on TV.
Okay, so, and he's on with Steven Jackson and who else?
And Matt Barnes.
And Matt Barnes.
Yeah.
And he has some, he was triggered by something?
Yeah, and he gets triggered, and there was speculation about what he's talking about. I think we figured it out, but let's have the people hear it.
All right, he's triggered by something, so he's not happy with somebody. Let's hear what he has to say.
It's one guy that I want you, I'm looking. What camera can I look at? Do I supposed to look at? It's one guy I know you know who I'm talking to. I know you hate me. And trust me, I don't hate nobody. Yes, I do. I hate you. It's one guy that you know I'm talking to, that they talking about right now.
I know, too.
It's one guy. No, it ain't who you think it is.
Okay.
I got love for Skip. So, you know, I know people think it's Skip. It's not you. You know what I mean? But there's a guy that do exactly what you do. And just trust me, the way you hate me, I hate you too.
Feeling's mutual.
You know what I mean? The feeling is so mutual. And you don't help me, and I don't help you, and I'm fine. I'm fine out here. Regardless of how much you talk about me. Mm-hmm. All right? All right. Just know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And I'm not mentioning your name because I won't even want the whole world to even know that I give you that type of love.
But you know he know.
You know.
You and I know what's going on.
Oh, and you and your daddy. You and your daddy.
Ooh. Both of you.
Both of you.
Both of you.
Both of you.
Both of you. Yeah, when I come in, I want 2 and 3. The both of you.
Both of you.
All right, so he's talking about Whitlock, right?
Apparently, yeah, he's talking about Whitlock.
So he got beef with Whitlock.
Yeah. He doesn't.
Who had a lot of things to say back when he was a player and was very, and now technically still has a job just doing the same kind of thing as Skip Bayless.
Yeah.
So it was a person who does those talking head shows. It's not Stephen A. It's people were trying to flatter a local person. It's not a local person. Yeah. Apparently it is.
Yeah, it sounds like you want to put a hit on him.
Uh-huh. I tell you what, that guy's a fella, no disrespect, he's a bit rotund. Don't roll up on AI. He'll roll you down the block. Because AI, we all have met AI at this point. AI not walk around just hating people.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't try him.
Yeah.
I got his back.
He's not a guy that you should try Because he hates so few. And AI, yeah. And that's why I'm so, whoever AI hates, I hate double. Because AI has zero hater in his DNA.
Yeah.
He never hated on LeBron.
Yeah.
He didn't hate on Kobe. He doesn't hate. So if he hates you, it's for good reason.
Let's go to Bob in Freehold, New Jersey. What's up, Bob?
Yeah, the Eagles' offense and Wentz. When did they stop using the read option? And how come they don't use it anymore?
Yeah, he doesn't. I don't think that they trust that Wentz is natural at the read option. And besides that, they don't want him to be tempted to run off of that read option.
But if they're going to roll him out, same thing.
Well, they don't roll him out.
Not now.
That's
but
the problem.
That,
yeah, I think right. They've gotten real conscious of him not having the football in his hands, getting tackled. So, and I agree with you. I think that they ought to just, you know, take the leash off at this point. You know, roll him out, do some things where he can be creative.
Right. And Marty Morningway, what is his job now?
He's an offensive advisor of some sort. I don't know.
Advisor. So that means we're never going to run the ball as long as he's advising.
Yeah, right. Well, listen, Doug Peterson's calling the plays. I don't even know what kind of impact Marty Morningway has on this.
Well, you know this. You know that they're not running the ball enough. You do know that.
Yeah, well, they're going to win Sunday, and I think they're going to do some different things. And by Monday, just like it always happens, we're gonna say, see? Look, they finally loosened it up, and they finally did what we wanted them to do, and look what happened.
Well, and one last thing,
mm-hmm.
It's not football, it's baseball, and I've been out of touch with it, with the Phillies, but what happened to the first baseman?
Hoskins?
Hoskins.
Yeah, he's got the possible torn elbow tendon in his left hand, left arm. Wow.
All right, so he's done for the season.
Maybe not. They're saying he probably is, but they're saying he's going to grab a bat this week or whatever. He's probably done. You know, that's a big loss too. We don't really talk about that much, but you know, he had started to hit in the middle of that lineup, and they've been without him. We've almost forgotten about him, Rhys Hoskins. All right, so Booney's a big baseball guy. Our producer in NBC Sports Philly, and Booney has an article in NBC Sports Philly website. Suggesting that they should have bypassed Velasquez and gone short rest with Wheeler and Nola and Eflin to get into the playoffs, which would have made Velasquez your game one starter. So
you know what? I like it.
Yeah.
Because and there's people out there, oh, Nola can't do it. They're, like Booney was going back and forth. Nola's never been asked to do it. He may be able to do it. Because he's never been asked, so there are people jumping to a conclusion of he can't. Maybe he can. Wheeler, I believe, might have done it in his career. And Eflin is just better. You don't got nothing else. And you trust Eflin right now more than you trust Velasquez. So this does remove your worst pitcher. If you're ever going to have time to do it, do it. And he's done that before. Remember when they beat the Phillies in 09? He rolled with just three pitchers.
Yeah.
He's done it before. I'm saying, Gerard.
All right, but the last time out, Tyrone. Vinny Velasquez, six innings pitched, two hits, six strikeouts.
I will admit, none of the guys have gone short rest, but that's all right. Vinny, I will admit, has been getting strikeouts even when he was getting hit around lately, but do you trust, you don't want him to pitch, do you?
Well, you're all up on Eflin.
Yeah,
if you're going by the last start, two starts ago, he gave up seven hits and four runs in 3 2/3.
How many strikeouts?
Though? Five.
And how many innings?
3 2/3.
So I'm saying he's been missing bats. I don't mm-hmm. know what that means. But you also could have him ready in any of those games. You just have to get in. I worry about game one.
I'll tell you something. If they get six innings out of Velasquez, I'll do a headstand on the air. How's that?
Hold on.
And I can't
mark this.
I can't even do a headstand.
Kiro,
so you'll have to
Kiro have to teach
you'll
you.
Have to prop me up. I'll do it.
See if Kiro can come in.
Six innings and two hits?
Well, no, six innings, you said.
I'm writing it down right now.
If he goes six innings and gives up two hits is what I said. But all right, let's just say six innings.
Six innings.
And they got to have the lead.
Okay,
of course.
And the lead. Yeah,
six innings and they're down 10-0. But if they...
Yeah, you have to prop me up. I'll do it right against that.
All right, we'll do that. That's going to be awesome.
Six innings. Coming up is Sound Off right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
You got a beef with me? What is it? The hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedics same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com. Let's get going. Sound off.
All righty, time for sound off. That number, 610-771-9705. It never changes, which means you could hit us up with that number and leave us a message if you got something to say and you can't wait to be on the air. You got to have it published. Well, do it on sound off. Here's what we got today.
See, I know it's a riot for you when people call up and say, you know, Nick Foles, number one. You seem to forget, or you conveniently forget, or you don't forget. You know, the year that he had under Chip Kelly, 27-2. I don't care who he was playing against. He was playing an NFL schedule.
Yeah, dude, give it up with Foles. All right, the Foles thing's over. He did a nice job in a temporary situation, and he's failed in two other places. So he was a mediocre quarterback who caught lightning in a bottle, and we thank him for doing that, because they did win a Super Bowl, but, you know, enough of the Pulse thing.
You know, that is the infinite wisdom of that freaking moron, Howie Roseman, and the equally stoonitis, Doug Peterson. Let's take a second-round pick who can't help us, and a third-round pick who can't help us, and then wonder why we're struggling on both sides of the ball. I don't get it, Mike.
Yeah, it's not well thought out, but I guess you want me to say it's kind of ridiculous, frankly. What do you think about it?
In hindsight, after the second round pick, didn't you in the third round you have to get a guy I would think.
I know they got to put in the fake crowd noise during the NFL game, so it sounds a bit more natural. But the Suns are never true to the game. Like, for instance, when went through that interception in the end zone, the Boo Birds would have come out and forced.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they should do it on a canned basis. Like, it's such a violation to do something like that.
He wants more boos. I'm like, they booed some, and it was a little off-putting.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they produce the game the way they want to, and I actually thought that they were allowing it. I didn't know there was no sound in the stadium. I thought that... Don't the baseball players hear the sound in the stadium?
I think that they do.
I would have thought, like, what's wrong with having the players hear the sound in the stadium?
McManus said it's just a buzz.
It should be like a white noise. It's not meant to narrate the game.
You can't replicate it.
Yeah,
right.
It's just white noise.
Yeah. All right.
The caller today saying that he'd rather have his Phillies players healthy than playing while hurt. Are you insane? If Bryce Harper's at 75%, he's better than anybody they can put out there. And if JT Realmuto can actually breathe and put his shin guards on, he's 20 times better than Andrew Knapp on his best day.
I don't know, Nappy.
Nappy's been good this year.
Slamming the ball around.
Nappy's killing the ball. What is this?
I don't know.
That's like 300-something.
No, don't think that's going to last, but...
Yeah, it's saddened to hear about the passing of Tom DeVito.
of the Four Seasons, the founder of the Four Seasons. A lot of great music, Sherry, and the song made for Natalie, I Can't Take My Eyes Off of You.
Aww.
Sad.
It, look at that.
That was sweet.
Sherry, Sherry, baby.
No, that guy, Tommy DeVito, see, Pesci, the story of Jersey Boys is that Pesci was hanging around with those guys.
Yeah.
So, like, his name in Goodfellas was Tommy DeVito.
Mm-hmm.
So that may have been paying tribute to him, suggesting to Scorsese that they make the Pesci character named Tommy DeVito. I don't know that for a fact, but I'd put two and two together.
That makes sense.
Yeah. That gentleman has called many times with Sound Off lately with different obits or happy birthdays. So I wanted to include that when Tommy DeSoto's birthday was yesterday. We just didn't get to it. So he's been calling regularly. Aww. I wanted to make sure we put that one higher so we make the
end. Okay.
You know, Mike, a lot of people might not want to hear this, but in the NFL, you can turn your team around a lot quicker than you can, say, Major League Baseball, NBA, whatever. But I don't feel like the Philadelphia Eagles are a good enough team, even if they somehow turn it around. They are not a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I never thought they were a Super Bowl contender. I thought they would be a playoff team. I thought they would actually win this division. But, hey, listen, I got to reserve judgment. It's the second game of the year, and they're going to win Sunday. So everything's on hold.
C.D. Lamb already has more career receptions than J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. What the hell?
Yeah, I don't know why you compared him to Whiteside. Comparing to Rager.
Well, he's saying that guy had a full year head start, and in two games, he passed them already.
Well, did we know that? What are we sitting here? Were we talking out of our rear ends here when we're talking about CeeDee Lamb? Well, we kind of knew he was going to be a player.
Gonna move up.
All right, close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic Same Day Joint Replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com.
Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What is it?
Because I don't like
them. Then break. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
All righty, guess what's up next? The Cousins Corner from Parks Casino. So stay tuned for that show coming up after this one. And then Devon Gibbons will be in for the evening on NBC Sports Philly. Stay tuned for Quick Slants. Have a great rest of the night, everybody. Be safe, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.